If you were Fred Hoiberg, would you want to work for someone who did what Bill Moose did to Tim Miles? And if you're an Iowa fan and Nebraska hires the mayor, does that make you a little nervous? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Oh, when it rains, it pours. Welcome in at 4:06, a very, very busy news day. You spread this stuff out now that Iowa and Iowa State are out of the NCAA basketball tournament on the men's side of things. We can slow this news leak down, right? Everything's flowing on a Tuesday. We got a lot of ground to cover. I say that a lot, but we really mean it today because there is, I don't know how we're all going to fit it into 3 hours on the program today. We've got three great guests lined up for you. Scott Docterman of The Athletic is going to be with us at 5 o'clock. Iowa will kick off its spring football practices tomorrow and conclude with no spring game, no open practice, just an autograph session at an Iowa baseball game this year. Why? Because of some turf renovations inside Kinnick Stadium. Get Scott's thoughts on the depth chart that was released today by Kirk Ferentz of the football program. Baseball is back for reals on Thursday, and we are going to preview not only the St. Louis Cardinals, but the Chicago Cubs today as well. Rob Raines, longtime Cardinals beat man, is with us at 5:30. Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune will join us at 6 o'clock. We'll hear some of what Kirk Ferentz had to say earlier today in Iowa City, fingers crossed. And a tale of two coaches. So there's a lot of news out of Ames today with Steve Prohm getting a 3-year contract extension and Cameron Lard and the program parting ways. But we got to start with Nebraska today, in my opinion, which made it official. The Cornhuskers bowed out of the National Invitational Tournament last night with a loss to TCU. Tim Miles is out as head coach of the Huskers. And this whole situation, just, it should leave everybody feeling very uncomfortable. Tim Miles is a really good guy. He's one of, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say anything negative about Tim Miles. Nebraska most likely got jobbed out of an NCAA bid last season when it finished fourth in the Big Ten and settled for an NIT invite, and they were not happy to be there, and they wound up bowing out in the first round. This year, injuries ravaged the Cornhuskers roster. They were down to, what, six guys when they played and beat Iowa in the regular season finale. And Bill Moose, the athletic director in Lincoln, seems to have lined up the services of Fred Hoiberg, who, for obvious reasons, is very popular in the state of Iowa. And this was all done while Tim Miles was still employed as the head coach, and at every opportunity where he could have done the humane thing and just put Tim Miles out of his misery, he decided to lead Tim Miles along. I guess some people are saying that Miles knew what was coming, and regardless of what happened in the NIT, I think Tim Miles felt, hey, if we make a deep enough run into the NIT, any athletic director with a sense of what's going on here, what happened this season, is going to say, okay, maybe you get a mulligan here. That's not the case. So Hoiberg appears to be the leading candidate. I know this is something I said a week ago that I couldn't even fathom. We see it sometimes in the sports world. We are surprised by a lot of things. Fred Hoiberg has yet to take the job. Bill Moose, though, is speaking right now in Lincoln, Nebraska, and he says the timeline on getting a new coach in place is 7 to 14 days. That seems awfully fast.
That's pretty quick. That's a quick turnaround there.
It's a very quick turnaround unless you've already got your guy in place, and there are reports out there, unconfirmed, that there's already a signed memo of understanding between Fred Hoiberg and Nebraska. So if you put any stock into that at all, that Bill Moose had hired his next head coach before he had fired Tim Miles, which I know this is a results-oriented business, college basketball, but this just really, really rubs me the wrong way. Partly because Miles is a really good guy, and he's going to resurface somewhere, maybe at a mid-tier school. He didn't have a tremendous amount of success at Nebraska, but you've got to know who you are if you're Nebraska basketball. And Nebraska basketball is not Nebraska football, okay? Barry Collier and Doc Sadler were the last two coaches before Tim Miles arrived on the scene. Between 2000 and 2006, Barry Collier was 36-60 in the Big 12. And Doc Sadler had a conference record of 34-64, including going 4-14 in his only year as a Big Ten coach before Tim Miles came to town. This seems like Tim Miles was done wrong by Bill Moose. And it's interesting for a number of reasons, because you got Fred Hoiberg, the mayor, okay, synonymous with Ames, though he was born in Lincoln and his grandfather coached the Huskers, and there are still family ties there. But Fred Hoiberg is Iowa State through and through. And now you're going to watch him if you're Iowa State. And I know Nebraska's not in the Big 12 anymore, but if this goes down and you're an Iowa State fan, how are you going to feel seeing your guy wearing that white N? 319-366-1600.
Does this not sort of feel like Bill Moose was maybe flirting behind Tim Miles' back the whole time and just keeping Tim Miles around as the... It was like that relationship that you know is probably going to end. The spark just isn't there, and then somebody's looking behind the significant other's back and flirting with someone who they think is better and just keeping that person around just in case that other person doesn't work out. That's sort of what this feels like. Where, wait, Bill Moose is thinking, do we actually have a shot at bringing Fred Hoiberg to Lincoln, Nebraska? Does he want this job? And according to several sources, including Jeff Goodman, Fred Hoiberg's people are speaking out to Jeff Goodman saying,
how do you
he would
get
love
people?
This job.
Wait a minute. How do you get people? I've always wondered this. How do you get people? If Fred Hoiberg has people and they're speaking out, I don't have anybody. I don't have people. I want to know what you need to do in life to get to the point where you get people, where you have people.
Is there a magic number on the annual salary where you
automatically have a couple more zeros than what I make?
Same.
Jeff Borzello at ESPN.com has a good piece that says, Hoiberg, Hoiberg, Hoiberg. But if it's not Hoiberg, here are some other names that Nebraska... Dana Altman appears on the list, the former Creighton coach who's got Oregon in the Sweet 16. Tyronn Lue, former coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, former Nebraska player. And a pair of Steves. Steve Alford was tied to this job a couple months ago before it was clear that Tim Miles was going to be fired. But another Steve that I found interesting, Steve Forbes at East Tennessee, which I can't necessarily see Nebraska going. This, to me, the way that this has all been set up, the way that this is all played out, is there was one choice from the very beginning. Moose knew he had his guy. And why he didn't part ways with Tim Miles after the Big Ten. I know they won two games and showed up in the third one. And all of a sudden the storyline becomes Nebraska was the story of the Big Ten tournament. They were the Cinderella. And everybody was embracing it because they knew, hey, Tim Miles is going to be fired. Except one guy didn't have the balls to come out and say it.
There's the other problem.
And it was Bill Moose. Bill Moose, who started in Chicago on Wednesday, and then on Thursday left Chicago for his son's spring football game in California, he could have tied this up very quickly when Nebraska lost on Friday at the Big Ten tournament. He could have come out and said, we will address this tomorrow. And on Saturday, I know the team is going most likely to the postseason. If they get an NIT bid, not, we'll leave it up to the players. If they want Coach Miles to coach them in the postseason, if they get a bid, we'll allow that to happen. If they don't, we'll name an interim coach. And instead, Moose is like, well, you know, we'll come out with a statement when we have a statement after we know what the postseason fate is. So which he basically leveraged the storyline of Tim Miles coaching for his life into an NIT bid. And then once they get into the NIT, they don't bow out gracefully right away. And Bill Moose, I just picture Bill Moose getting angry in his office because Tim Miles isn't rolling over and dying. Like, this team didn't just lay down and die so that he could have this nice, clean cut with Miles and bring his guy, Fred Hoiberg, in. So it's been mishandled every step of the way. And if I'm Fred Hoiberg, I don't want to work for someone who's going to treat an employee like that.
Well, I think even worse is the fact that their season ended on Sunday. They lost to TCU on Sunday. And I don't know if you caught it. It kind of went viral on Twitter. Tim Miles was working as the Nebraska head coach yesterday. They didn't make the decision yesterday. I could see Bill Moose saying, all right, we're going to wait till the end of the season. We're going to keep this from, obviously it's going to become a distraction, but in his mind, I can see him saying, until the last game is played, Tim Miles is going to finish out the season. But then yesterday, when everything should have been handled, Tim Miles was seen leaving his office in front of several reporters saying, I have no news. I have no good news. I have no bad news. I don't know whether I'm going to continue as the coach. And then finally today, after more backlash, they finally make the decision. So I thought Bill Moose had more cojones than this, because this looks like somebody who didn't have the guts to say what he wanted to say.
The text line informs me, 7490, that you get people when you become a millionaire.
Okay.
You need to be a millionaire in order to have people. Okay. I get that. I still want to know how Iowa State fans are going to view this if it comes to fruition, because I do believe Iowa State fans don't exactly have a warm place in their heart for Nebraska. Even though they're in different conferences now. Nebraska, a rival going back to the Big 8 days, the Big 12. Fred Hoiberg is going to be coaching the Nebraska Cornhuskers, the mayor, a guy who is synonymous with your basketball program. He's going to be coaching a program that for years and years and years was your rival. How are you going to feel about that? 319-366-1600. I'm assuming the answer has to do with whether or not Fred can beat Iowa when Nebraska plays, because I know who Iowa State fans will be rooting for. Steve Prohm, not to be confused with Steve Prohm. Steve Prohm gets a 3-year contract extension today, details of which are not yet finalized according to the news release that Iowa State sent out. But Steve Prohm is not going anywhere until 2025 at the earliest, or if he does go somewhere, it's going to cost one of the two parties a great deal of money. And subsequently, that may or may not even be the biggest Iowa State basketball news today, because as expected, Cameron Lard's tumultuous career in Ames is over. The redshirt sophomore will be transferring. I've seen people say that Lard is moving on from Iowa State. I think Iowa State is moving on from Cameron Lard. I think this is pretty clearly a case of, do you need help packing your bags? Because we'll come over and we'll even bring the U-Haul. We'll check with compliance and make sure it's not an NCAA infraction, but we will help you move. We will help expedite your leaving the program. This is addition by subtraction.
I mean, this is something that we sort of saw coming since Iowa and Iowa State played each other back in December, wasn't it? we've had this discussion before, and at the end of the day, I think nobody's surprised by this that followed the Iowa State basketball team this year. And Cam Lard is a very talented player, but at some point you run out of chances and you run out of the faith of a coaching staff to help you out, and you have to help yourself out when you lose your starting position. And when you lose playing time, you have to make yourself, I'm not going to say useful because that sounds ridiculous, but you have to make yourself more apt to staying on the court, staying out of foul trouble, and staying out of the headlines as well. And that's something that Cameron Lard was not able to do. And unfortunately for him and the Iowa State basketball program, his time has come to an end in Ames.
Detterman on the text line says, wouldn't it be more surprising for an AD to handle something well? There are ADs who handle things well. They're like referees or umpires. The good ones, you usually don't hear their names. You usually only hear ADs talked about when they're screwing things up. Jamie Pollard, sort of an exception to that. Pollard has become known for being a very good AD, in my opinion, especially given the parameters of his job. And we see that today because Steve Prohm was able to leverage Avery Johnson being bought out at Alabama into a three-year extension. And this is something that has been in the works for a while, according to some reports that have been out there. But never let an opportunity go to waste. I worked with somebody who had another job opportunity, and his boss was upset at him for not coming to him and telling him that he had the job opportunity that he had. And the advice, the life advice that the boss gave to the former employee is, you get another job offer, you come tell me about it, because we want an opportunity to try to keep you here, provided that they like you. So Steve Prohm, even though I don't think there was ever much to this Alabama thing, all it took was, hey, he's an Alabama alum. Is an opening.
They're going to throw a lot of money at him.
They could throw money at him. They're basically tearing their arena down to the studs. And Bill, I mean, they're going to have some fantastic facilities there. It's about a 10-year project, if I recall correctly. They're doing things incrementally. And even though he came out right away and said that he was going to be the best coach at Iowa State, and I think losing to Ohio State maybe took a little bit of the luster off the Prohm balloon, if you will, for Alabama. I don't think he was ever seriously going to leave, but he at least used the opportunity, or Jamie Pollard saw this as the opportunity. Hey, we got to take care of our guys. He took care of Matt Campbell. He's taking care of Steve Prohm. And I almost said Arkansas when I said Alabama, because the Arkansas job is now open. They've parted ways with Mike Anderson, and the reports early seem to indicate that a Sweet 16 head coach is the number one candidate there. That would be squeaky clean. Wait a minute. I say squeaky clean, and if your mind immediately go, oh, God, he's talking about Bruce Pearl at Auburn. No, 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 the other guy. The other guy who has some blemishes on his resume in the Sweet 16, Kelvin Sampson, to Arkansas is the rumor.
Has the FBI probe just made it so that schools don't care who they're hiring? It's like, okay, well, everybody's cheating. Let's just get the guy who wins. Because that's what it seems like.
College athletics. Remember, they free Wi-Fi.
Free
Wi-Fi and those continental breakfasts.
Continental breakfast.
They're all about the student and student athlete.
And that's how the University of Houston and Kelvin Sampson has turned around a program and made it to back-to-back NCAA tournaments.
You know he has people.
After missing the NCAA tournament every year since Phi Slammajama.
All right. So we've got 25 seconds here. This is really difficult to explain to anybody who's never listened to the program before, but I need to know, sort of an instant reaction poll here on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line, 366-1600. We're going to go to break, and over the course of the break, I want you to tell me on the text line whether this is a good idea. Does Fred Hoiberg to Nebraska warrant checking in with Doug and Daddy? It's something we haven't done in a while. I was going to make sure that it was dead and it was never resurrected. And this is sort of like Pet Cemetery now. We're going to dig up, checking in with Doug and Daddy, if the listeners want it, at 366-1600. We've got a great giveaway for you. We're going to tell you a little bit about that when we return. Plus, Kyle will have a big board update for you after this.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their five PGA Indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini golf, skee ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games, and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot. Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
What the hell are you guys all dressed up for?
Welcome back in. When we come back at the bottom of the hour, you will hear what Tim Miles had to say to Nebraska reporters who caught up with him after the axe fell officially today. You'll want to hear it. It's great audio. But I am pleased. Well, part of me is pleased. Part of me is disturbed to report that the results of the Insta poll on the text line, unanimous to checking in with Doug and Daddy. Now, I'm going to put the caveat on this. Hoiberg has to officially be hired. So when Hoiberg is officially hired, and unbeknownst to you, the listener, I check in on Doug and Daddy every day. It just never makes it to the air. But we will check in with Nebraska's power couple when Fred Hoiberg is officially introduced as the next head coach of the Huskers. Kyle is with us in the studio. We mentioned it's a very busy news day. He's going to fill you in right now with a big board update.
Iowa spring football practices begin tomorrow, and with that comes a fresh batch of football-related news. The program announced this morning there will not be an open practice this year because the turf inside Kinnick needs to be replaced as a result of flooding in the area last summer. Instead, there will be an autograph session at the April 20th baseball game, as well as a Meet the Hawkeyes event, for which details will be released in the coming weeks. We also got our first look at a depth chart for the upcoming season. Alaric Jackson and Tristan Wirfs remain at the tackles, with Cole Banward at center and the Paulsons beside him. Along the D-line is Chauncey Golston, Cedric Lattimore, Brady Reef, and A.J. Epinesa. Linebackers are Neiman, Welch, and Colbert. Kayvon Merriweather and Geno Stone are your new starting safeties. And he didn't appear on the depth chart, but we also learned today that defensive lineman Davion Nixon will remain a Hawkeye. I mentioned yesterday that Iowa State Steve Prohm had been mentioned as a possible candidate for the open Alabama job. Alex mentioned late in the show a report that Cyclones may move to extend him in response to those rumors. And the announcement came this morning that Prohm has, in fact, been extended through 2025. He's won at least 23 games in three of his four seasons and has two Big 12 tournament titles. That's one Cyclone staying, but there's another one going. Sophomore Cam Lard has displayed great talent at times throughout his career, but has also been suspended three times, so it came as no surprise to many when he announced today he'll be transferring. He says he has no issues with coaches and just wants to start fresh elsewhere. Tonight after the show, we've got a really good NBA matchup. It's the league best Bucks taking on the streaking Rockets on all three frequencies right as we leave the air.
And Kelvin Bell is officially the defensive line coach for the Hawkeyes. He will take over that position full-time. Kirk Ferentz announcing that today. Bell filling in on an interim basis following the retirement of Reese Morgan. Tim Miles seems to be handling all this well. You'll hear from him next.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Stop in at Third Base. You're practically home.
Never seen her. I thought she might be a local person from Charlotte. I didn't know what was going on.
The Marty Smith's America podcast on the ESPN app and Apple Podcasts. With the first pick.
The First Draft Podcast.
We get out of Thursday night, Mel, and all of a sudden it's midnight, and we're getting ready to get up 5 more hours for a 12-hour day on Saturday, and the Giants don't have a quarterback. I'm going to be shaking my head, and I'm going to throw the Gary Horton theory of they didn't wake up in the morning trying to figure out a way to screw it up, because then they screwed it up.
The First Draft Podcast with Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay. Listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Patriots owner Robert Kraft officially entered a not guilty plea to charges on 2 misdemeanor counts of first-degree solicitation and is asked for a jury trial. He's among more than 200 people charged in a Florida massage parlor investigation. The NFL's competition committee introduced a new proposal for expanding replay that would allow some calls to be reviewed. A response to a meeting yesterday during which all 32 coaches expressed support for finding a way to correct clear and obvious officiating mistakes, no matter how they happen. Coaches won't likely get their wish, but the committee will deliver a clear message to officials, explains ESPN's Chris Mortensen.
Don't swallow the whistle. Get the call right. When in doubt, throw the flag. So the play in question with the Saints, throw the flag if it's even close, and then you can correct it, because there's no proposal that says a non-call is going to get corrected under the scenarios that they are really being discussed.
Chris Mortensen, a pair of NBA MVP candidates face off tonight.
In sports, as in life, the best rise to the top. That's how college brackets work. And it's how Third Base Brewery has curated their in-house brews for the past 20 years. Only the greatest survive. Maybe that's why friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in and watch the madness unfold at Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Introducing the new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's. It comes with a new bacon double stack made with a quarter pound of fresh, never frozen beef and topped with crispy applewood smoked bacon. Plus 4 nuggets, fries, and a drink all for just $5. That's right, just $5. The new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's is everything you could ever want. Well, at least for lunch. Try Wendy's new $5 Biggie Bag today. Biggie Bag includes 4-piece nuggets, small fries, and a small drink. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Approximate weight before cooking. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Geico presents Unhelpful Home Improvement How-Tos.
A slippery bathroom floor can result in expensive hospital bills. So today, I'll show you how to cushion a serious fall by filling your bathroom with thousands of plastic balls. Just nail a piece of plywood across the doorway and dump in 2,000 multicolored plastic balls.
You could try to protect yourself with a bathroom full of plastic balls, or you could get liability coverage through the Geico Insurance Agency. Visit geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Back to the Todd Bottlecamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Look at this guy, so hopped up on goofballs and grass, he's got no idea what's going on.
Some days it is really easy to do what I do for a living, and then the other 360-plus, it's a struggle. Today is the easy day, because there's a lot going on. We've been so busy, we haven't even had a chance to remind you that we've got tickets to see Hairball this summer. They're going to be playing at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The Cedar Rapids Colonels hosting Hairball for a concert. You can win tickets to that July 6th show just by listening to us. If you are unfamiliar with Hairball, they are not a cover band. They're a tribute band playing hits that you'll recognize from groups like Van Halen, Aerosmith, Journey, Queen. Tickets on sale now. You can get them at the Colonel's ticket office or online at colonels.com. Be listening, and you'll have your chance to win, well, let's say, within the next 25 minutes. How about that? 319-366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Look, this makes my day. We have heard from Travis, the aggrieved Cyclone fan, on the text line.
We have.
And he is aggrieved because if he says if Fred Hoiberg takes the Nebraska job, he is dead to him.
Dead to him.
Dead to him. I'm not buying that.
That's all it would take. Nebraska, Fred Hoiberg taking the Nebraska job, everything's out the window.
Cyclone Tim, Fred doesn't care what Cyclone fans think about him if he goes to Nebraska, so why would we give a tinker's damn where he goes, as long as it's not Iowa or a Big 12 school? Wow, I didn't realize that in this short little window in which, and by the way, somebody on the text line did point out that this is sort of very interesting because Fred Hoiberg essentially did the same thing to Tom Thibodeau in Chicago. Thibodeau was playing the role of Tim Miles. He's the guy who had the job, and then Hoiberg came in behind him because his buddies wanted him to be their guy.
So does
Bill, they didn't.
Does that mean that Bill Moose equals Garpax?
Well, if you're a Nebraska fan and you're not familiar with the Chicago Bulls, you may not want to hear that.
No, I don't. Don't look up who Gar Forman and John Paxson are. Don't do it to yourself.
We have the audio of Tim Miles. This is I'm going to source this to just Nebraska media Twitter because there were about 20 accounts that had this. But they caught Tim Miles as he was leaving his office, presumably for one of the final times today, in Lincoln at the Devaney Center. And this is peak Tim Miles. He's a goofball. He's a weirdo.
He's a funny guy.
He's Todd Licklider if Todd Licklider had a personality, because Licklider was quirky, but in like a, I don't really know what to make of that guy. Like, if Licklider moved in next door to you, he's the type of guy that you'd sort of keep an eye on because he gave off the vibe of there's something a little off about this guy. And in his case, it's he couldn't win basketball games. Miles is like Licklider, but with a personality. He's the good kind of quirky. And that's why everybody likes him. And he's sort of a media darling, and I get that. And that we're guilty of that in this business. We like people who are colorful and give us more than one word answers and don't often tell members of the media to ask intelligent questions,
right,
things of that nature. Here's, I hope he's seven deep right now, because this is from quite a while ago. But here's Tim Miles on his departure from Nebraska and what he's planning to do tonight when he gets home.
I do love this place and hope for great success. But now's the time for the future. You know, I'm the past. We've worked hard to elevate this brand in Nebraska basketball. I'm proud of what we've done. And I look forward to, you know, future success. And I know Bill will hire a great guy. But I'm going to get in that car, go hang out with my wife and my kids and my dog, and have a cold Coors Light. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
I hope I'd stop at the nearest come and go or nearest convenience store and just buy the biggest case of beer I could get my hands on. He is a millionaire after all.
He could go to the Chicken Coop. I'm sure they have a nice special on a Tuesday afternoon.
He did get himself into some trouble when he made the comment on the podcast was it Jeff Goodman on the podcast where he said, "Oh, hey man, if I get fired, I'm still a millionaire because they're going to have to buy me out." That did not endear him to some Nebraska fans. But again, you go back and they were fourth in the Big Ten a year ago. They had their second leading scorer go down with an ACL injury this year. Carrington Davis didn't even play this year because he tore his Achilles at the start of the season. And then Amir Harris misses six games in late December and early January with mono, and then sprains his ankle at the end of the regular season. This team was snake-bitten from the moment that the season got underway, and yet still rallied to finish above 500, given their record in the postseason. It's a pretty impressive run. And again, Barry Collier, Doc Sadler. Those are your last two coaches. Okay, they're going all in here because they've upgraded the facilities. Pinnacle Bank Arena is fantastic. I know Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette raves about it. He's not the only media member to do so. Nebraska has money. They believe that their football program is going to be turned around under Scott Frost. This is an attractive job. I'm not going to lie. But at the end of the day, you sort of have to remember, a look in the mirror, and remind yourself who you are. You are Nebraska basketball. Tim Miles basically put in the sweat equity, built the house, and now you're foreclosing on him so that you can get a more attractive neighbor to move in and live next door.
It sort of feels a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit like the Tom Crean situation at Indiana, where there was success there. It wasn't as lasting as they wanted it to be, but he did get them back to the tournament for the first time since 1997. And Todd, I don't mean to change the subject very quickly, but I really didn't approve of you bringing up Doug and Daddy, because now I'm on a Doug and Daddy wormhole on Twitter, and I think that I have found Daddy.
Oh, Daddy's in the real estate business.
I found Daddy's I knew that. Twitter handle.
Again, if you only listen to this program sparingly, and it's not in the right sparing moments, you have no idea what we're talking about, but we're referencing our friends from the Tri-Cities area of Nebraska. And the radio program Doug and Daddy, who we met several years ago in Chicago at Big Ten Media Day, and they have proved worthy cannon fodder for us from time to time here on previous iterations of the afternoon program. And then we had Doug on the program with us in Chicago at Big Ten Media Day, and that sort of felt like it was the culmination of things. Like,
right.
It was never going to be funny after that because we had him on. And he was a nice guy. And then I was going to feel really bad if we continued to do what we sort of did at his expense. And here I am on March 26th. I'm right back at square one with checking in with Doug and Daddy, because I want to give the listeners what they want. And I don't know, 43 minutes into the program, if talking Nebraska basketball in Eastern Iowa is exactly giving the listeners what they want. I think it's fascinating because of the Fred Hoiberg ties and the mutual hatred of Nebraska among Iowa and Iowa State fans. I think it's of interest. But again, sometimes I got to be honest with you. There are many, many days where I go home and I beat myself up over this program. And I ask myself, did I actually give the people what they wanted today? This might be one of them, but judging by the reaction on the text line, I think I'm on to something here. I think people find the whole Fred Hoiberg angle here to be interesting.
It is interesting.
Now, that being said, the show has evolved like three times today, because I came in, I kicked the door in today, and I'm thinking, Kirk Ferentz talks in Iowa City today. We're going to have Kirk Ferentz audio, by the way, coming up at 6:30 tonight, and it's going to be Hawkeye Spring Football. And then the news comes out that Steve Prohm gets a contract extension and Cam Lard is no longer with the Cyclones. And I'm like, okay, we've got to change direction. We've got to make this a hybrid, a little bit of 50-50. We'll go Hawkeye football. We go Iowa State basketball. Can't lose. And then Nebraska, to me, is more interesting than either one of those stories, which are still interesting. So a lot of stuff going on today. Sprinkled in around all of that, Rob Raines will talk Cardinals baseball with us tonight at 5:30, and Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune will be with us at 6 o'clock. And by the way, if you ever feel I'm not delivering a program worthy of your ears and your time, I would love to hear from you on the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line at 319-366-1600. We have a poll question for you today, and it does involve one of the subjects that we're getting to right now, and we'll get to with Scott Docterman of The Athletic in about 15 minutes. Iowa is not going to have a spring football finale this year. I call it the finale because it's not really a game. It's not really a full-blown scrimmage. It's more than a practice. It really has no, there's no way to describe it. So I just, it's the public finale, the wrap-up. They're redoing the turf at Kinnick Stadium, so there's no place to do this. And the poll question today at KGYMradio.com is, would you really be upset if spring football games went the way of the dinosaur? Which they, I think they are. I think they are a relic of a past era. I think now in 2019, with the proliferation of the internet and message boards and shows like this, where we're constantly talking about who's on the depth chart and player comings and goings and recruiting, I think people are more dialed in than they ever have been. I don't think they need to go to a spring practice to see AJ Epenesa has been elevated to the number one spot on the depth chart. So I think they are a little antiquated. And we saw Iowa State say, hey, we're not going to have one this year because of the weather, questions with the weather. Now Iowa's saying they're taking a break from it. Would you really be upset if spring football just sort of went on behind closed doors, to quote Charlie Rich, and we didn't really get to see any? It may be a good thing, right? Because it's going to keep people from having that one public glimpse of Don Nordman or some fourth or fifth string receiver that happens to have five or six catches, and then the next thing you know, the hype train is rolling out of the depot.
Yeah, I also think it's going to keep people from freaking out if Nate Stanley throws a couple of interceptions.
He added a pound. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register tweeting today that according to the depth chart that was released today, Nate Stanley, I believe, is up to 244 pounds.
Okay, so I take it he was 243 last year.
I believe that was the previous weight. He's added 1 pound.
No, I think for Iowa, they don't go all out and make this a true spring game. There are two ways they don't do that. This is the fan experience. They don't allow tailgating.
That's the other thing.
That's first of all. Second of all, they don't have a game. It's a glorified practice that you're allowed to watch. And quite honestly, even as someone who loves the game of football and loves college football as much as I do, that's incredibly boring. So I don't think anyone is going to be all that upset, or I'm not going to say anyone, because there will be a segment of people that are. There's going to be an aggrieved segment, an aggrieved spring football segment out there. But
yeah, the wannabe coordinator who goes on the message board when he gets home and rat-a-tat-tats out his thoughts on the third string offensive lineman and his ability to pull.
I've coached football for 35 years, and I'll tell you what, Iowa's offensive line, their hand placement leaves a lot to be desired.
Tell me you follow 3-year Letterman on Twitter.
I do.
Okay. It's what I think of. Every time I think of that fan, I think of the parody account 3-year Letterman on Twitter. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. A little bit of news today. I thought it was the biggest piece of news to come out of Iowa City today, but Kelvin Bell, as expected, is now going to be the full-time defensive line coach. He got elevated on an interim basis when Reese Morgan retired earlier this month. That means there's going to be a shift in the recruiting coordinator, and right now it's sort of being handled by a number of people, according to Kirk Ferentz. They will address that down the road at some point. The 10th assistant coach is still in the works here, but Kelvin Bell is a guy who has really cut his teeth over the last couple years and really deserves this opportunity, in my opinion. It's going to be fascinating to see what he can do with it. And, oh, by the way, if you're going to get a job promotion, it's not a bad time to be the defensive line coach when A.J. Epenesa hasn't even started a game in his college career on the defensive line, and you get him, you inherit him in your first year.
Yeah, you're going to get timing. One full year of starting A.J. Epenesa.
We're pushing him out the door already because, let's be honest, he's that good.
Yes, he is.
He's going to be. I've seen people talk about a top 5, top 10 draft pick for him next year before he's even started a game in his college career. That's how good he is.
Yeah, I mean, ask yourself this. How far off talent-wise is he from, say, Nick Bosa at Ohio State? And where's Nick Bosa going to go in the draft? So I think he's that type of talent, and it's going to be exciting to see him get a full year of starting experience. But we'll ask Scott Docterman about it in just about 15 minutes. Is there anybody else on that defensive line that's ready to take some of the pressure off of him?
Iowa baseball is taking on Bradley today at Duane Banks Field. They are in the top of the third inning, and the Braves are up 1-0 on the Hawkeyes. The Iowa State women, do want to mention, they bowed out of the women's NCAA tournament last night. A little bit of an upset, 69-60 at the hands of Missouri State. That's a pretty good Missouri State team. They took it to Jenny Lillis's Drake Bulldogs in the MVC conference tournament. So Missouri State advances in the NCAA women's tournament. Lisa Bluter and the Hawkeyes headed to the Sweet 16. They will take on North Carolina State. It's a pretty tough matchup, a 2-3 matchup.
In Greensboro as well.
In Greensboro, so it's going to be, look, this happens, and especially on the women's side of things. It's you think Missouri and Drake were happy to have to come to Iowa and think about facing the Hawkeyes, or Mercer was happy to be playing a game on Iowa's home court, but that's the way that the women's tournament does things early on, and then you still can't sometimes avoid a matchup like this where Iowa's the 2, North Carolina State's the 3, but essentially it's going to be pretty easy for those NC State fans to get to Greensboro and get in the arena for that game. Lisa Bluter, by the way, is scheduled to chat with the media tomorrow along with some select players. 4:52, we're going to take a quick timeout. Remember, in just a couple minutes, you're going to take home tickets to see Hairball when they play Veterans Memorial Stadium later on this summer. Kyle's going to have a big board update for you and a whole lot more. Plus, when we return, I'm going to tell you how you can hang out with us on opening day, or as Alex would like to refer to it as, the beginning of the Sweet 16. That's coming up on Thursday. Details after this.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and C-Corp tax filings before April 15th. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. 319-208-3712. Community.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Great lineups. The 27 Yankees, the 75 Reds, the 82 Brewers. On KGYM, it's You, Nash, and Dukes on the Gym Class and the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. On Smart FM, Just John steps up to the plate in the mornings. Greg's at bat from 10 until 3. And Rick hits musical home runs on your afternoon drive home. Smart Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Hang on just a sec. Let me settle in, and I'll be right back.
You can join us on Thursday for Major League Baseball's opening day / the start of the Sweet 16. We're going to be hanging out at Mulligan's on Old Marion Road. It's the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We'll be doing the show from 4 until 6. It's an abbreviated show because of the Sweet 16 games. So come and hang out with us from 4 until 7. Show is from 4 until 6. From 6 until 7, we're hanging out. We're watching basketball. We're watching baseball. We're chatting with you. We're eating half-price wings. It's going to be a hell of a time. We want to see you there. Mulligan's, 1060 Old Marion Road, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Kyle is with us. He's got a big board update for you.
Iowa's spring football practices begin tomorrow, and with that comes a fresh batch of football-related news. The program announced this morning that there will not be an open practice this year because the turf inside Kinnick needs to be replaced as a result of flooding in the area last summer. Instead, there's going to be an autograph session at the April 20th baseball game, as well as a Meet the Hawkeyes event, for which details will be released in the coming weeks. We also got our first look at a depth chart for the upcoming season. Alaric Jackson and Tristan Wirfs remain at the tackles, with Cole Banward at center and the Paulsons beside him. Along the D-line is Chauncey Golston, Cedric Lattimore, Brady Reef, and A.J. Epinesa. Linebackers are Neiman, Welch, and Colbert. Kayvon Merriweather and Geno Stone are new starting safeties. And he didn't appear on the depth chart, but we did learn today that defensive lineman Davion Nixon will remain a Hawkeye. I mentioned yesterday Iowa State's Steve Prohm had been mentioned as a possible candidate for the open Alabama job. Alex mentioned late in the show a report the Cyclones may move to extend him in response to those rumors. The announcement came this morning that Prohm has in fact been extended through 2025. He's won at least 23 games in three of his four seasons. That's one Cyclone staying, but there's another going. Sophomore Cam Lard has displayed great talent many times throughout his career, but has been suspended three times, so it came as no surprise to many when he announced today he'll be transferring. He says he's got no issues with the coaches and just wants to start fresh elsewhere. Tonight after the show, we've actually got a really good NBA matchup. We'll have the league-best Milwaukee Bucks taking on the streaking Houston Rockets on all three frequencies, tipping right as we leave the air.
We mentioned Iowa State. The women losing last night. The worst part about that, Bridget Carlton scored 31 in that loss to Missouri State, leaving her 7 points shy of setting Iowa State's all-time scoring record. That adds extra salt to that particular wound. This is a fascinating time. 0189 on the text line says, I've been to Lincoln, Nebraska for athletic events. If Fred Hoiberg brings in some junior college transfers with sketchy pasts, like he did to get Iowa State's basketball program started, that's not going to go over well there. I had to break this to you, but they're not going to care if it results in wins.
If they win games.
That's a fan base that embraced Lawrence Phillips and a number of other football players who I guess you could say were quote-unquote sketchy. If he does that, if he follows the transfer U blueprint and turns Nebraska into a winner, their fans there are not going to care. Scott Dochterman of The Athletic is going to be with us next. But right now, if you're caller number 6 to 319-366-1600, you are going to rock and roll the night away at Veterans Memorial Stadium this summer as Hairball returning to Eastern Iowa. The concert is July 6th. That is a Saturday night. Tickets are on sale now, kernels.com. But we got a pair for you, 319-366-1600, caller number 6. You're off to see Hairball later this summer. We'll find out who our winner is next and hear from Scott Dochterman talking Hawkeye football to kick off the 5 o'clock hour.
Uber has been doing a ton of great things this last year, and Uber Rewards is going to make you love Uber even more. With Uber Rewards, you'll get rewarded for things you're already doing. Every eligible dollar you spend on rides and Uber Eats earns you points that unlock amazing benefits, like Uber Cash, complimentary surprise upgrades, flexible cancellations, and so much more. Your life is about to get more rewarding thanks to Uber. Get all the info and terms at uber.com/rewards. That's uber.com/rewards.
My neighbors always ask me, hey Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get a greener, stronger lawn, guaranteed. All it takes is 4 easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing your lawn the nutrition and weed control it needs to stay lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts Yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, Patriots coach Robert Kraft officially entered a not guilty plea today to charges on 2 misdemeanor counts of first-degree solicitation and has asked for a jury trial. The NFL's competition committee's introduced a new proposal for expanding replay that would allow some non-calls to be reviewed one day after a meeting where all 32 coaches expressed support for finding a way to correct clear and obvious mistakes by officials, no matter how they happen. Not a lot of support among owners for such a proposal, which is something ESPN's Dan Orlovsky doesn't understand.
Why can't we have someone up in the booth a trained football eye to look at things and go, oh, that didn't look right. Let me pick down at that monitor. Oh, I saw it incorrectly. Or you know what? I did see this correctly. We've got to fix that. Not for these minute things, but the major egregious mistakes. That's what I'm trying to figure out is why not.
Astros shortstop Carlos Correa questionable opening day at Tampa Bay because of a sore neck. Nebraska parted ways with basketball coach Tim Miles. ESPN's Jeff Borzella reports former Iowa State and Chicago Bulls coach Fred Hoiberg is the favorite to replace Miles.
Coming up Wednesday, can one game decide who will be the NBA MVP? We'll recap two MVP favorites facing off in the Rockets against the Bucks. And if you've ever wanted to go to the NFL draft, something big is coming. Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Introducing the new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's. It comes with a new bacon double stack made with a quarter pound of fresh, never frozen beef and topped with crispy applewood smoked bacon. Plus four nuggets, fries, and a drink all for just $5. That's right, just $5. The new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's is everything you could ever want. Well, at least for lunch. Try Wendy's new $5 Biggie Bag today. Biggie Bag includes four-piece nuggets, small fries, and a small drink. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Approximate weight before cooking. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
I'm Ari Wolf with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Packers and Bears will kick off the NFL's 100th season, one of the league's biggest rivalries meeting for the 199th time, facing off on September 5th, Thursday night kickoff. The Super Bowl champion Patriots will raise their banner on Sunday Night Football September 8th. Their opponent will be announced with the full schedule later this spring. Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement Sunday, something that shocked his agent Drew Rosenhaus when Gronk told him his plans. But Rosenhaus says he wouldn't be surprised if the All-Pro tight end changes his mind. On Up to the Minute Monday, Rosenhaus said it is entirely his gut feeling and not something that Gronkowski hinted at. He even said that Gronk told him that he is done and wanted to end his career healthy and on top. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Bungalow, apartment, flat, farmhouse, fort, lodge, cabin, cottage, chateau, palace, shack, crib, condo, shoebox, duplex, manor, mansion, McMansion, hutch, hut, pad, shanty, villa, castle, cave. No matter what you call it, a realtor knows how to find you the perfect home. We're more than an agent or app. We're trusted professionals serving you, your family, and community for over 100 years. That's not just what realtors do. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
What are you looking forward to in this year's tournament?
Well, GEICO is very excited to be a proud partner of NCAA March Madness.
Sure.
And I guess I'd love to see some upsets.
Ah, you're rooting for some sleeper teams.
I wouldn't go that far. No. I think they should stay awake if they want to win. I mean, snoozing is not the best basketball tactic as far as I know. Are you open for a pass? Hang on.
A sleeper just means an underdog.
Right. I'm just messing about. Listen, I'll just stick to telling people how easy GEICO makes it to switch and save.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Let's keep that on the down low. It's not exactly street legal.
The Gym Class is presented by Third Base Brewery on Blair's Ferry Road. You can tune in tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Scott Unash makes his return from vacation to reunite with Mark Dukes as they will chat with Mark Ironside and look back on Iowa's fourth place showing at the NCAA Wrestling Championships in Pittsburgh. Third Base Brewery, a place where families meet up again and again. Great for a quick lunch to catch the game after work or bring the family for an affordable and delicious meal. The Gym Class, our lead-in every day from 3 until 4. Welcome back in. Todd and Alex with you for the next 2 hours. We're going to get you ready for opening day on Thursday from a Cardinals and Cubs perspective. Rob Raines of the STLSportsPage.com with us at the bottom of the hour. And Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune, set to kick off the 6 o'clock hour. We're not talking baseball with our next guest. Scott Dochterman of The Athletic is with us. Iowa getting ready to kick off spring football practices officially tomorrow. And Scott, there was a lot of news out of Iowa City today as Kirk Ferentz met the media for the first time since signing day. Let's go ahead and start with the obvious one here, and that's the fact that after the retirement of Reese Morgan, there was a hole to fill on the defensive line, and the interim guy is going to get the job now full-time, and that's Kelvin Bell.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a trend almost in recent years where Iowa tries to promote from within, and I think you saw that with Seth Wallace a few years ago when he was the recruiting coordinator, and he ended up becoming a member of the full-time staff after, and then now you have the same thing with Kelvin Bell replacing Reese Morgan, and I think that's a testament to what Iowa is able to do, how their coaching philosophy of promoting from within. I think it's healthy, and then also Kelvin Bell has proven himself. He's a former player at Iowa, and then also has done quite a bit. He's been a very good recruiter for the Hawkeyes the last few years. So, now what Iowa's going to do with that open position is they're not going to have a recruiting coordinator anymore. That's kind of an interesting development that they're going to spread those duties throughout the staff. And part of that, I think, is because, they do trust some of their inside people. Tyler Barnes and Scott Southmade have done a really good job of kind of finding those guys. And then after that, you look at, who are they going to get for that defensive line coaching job that he said they're going to go for or to coach alongside with Kelvin Bell. And they're going to look, far and wide and try to find the right guy. He doesn't really care if it's a young guy, an old guy, just somebody that's going to work alongside Kelvin Bell on the defensive line. And I think, I think it could be fascinating if Iowa looks at, say, a former player. I know he was just kind of joking, but Adrian Claiborne said, oh, there's an opening on Twitter. And I think he would be a fantastic hire if Iowa was able to bring him under the fold.
Scott, what did Kirk have to say about where this program is going to feel the loss of Reese Morgan the most?
Oh, I think, from a personal perspective, I mean, I've never met anybody at that level that relates to people the way that Reese Morgan did. Just the fact that he could, he talked about how, he every time he went to go visit T.J. Hawkinson, that he'd make sure to go visit TJ's sister at the school. He knew everybody's name and just that connectedness. I don't know that they could replicate that. And I'm not saying that they're going to miss out on any recruits or anything, but they're going to miss something because those guys just don't show up one day and fake it. I mean, Reese Morgan is the most authentic coach I've probably ever met at this level. So I think that's going to be something that they're going to have to struggle with a little bit is just build those personal relationships and maintain them because it's an ever-changing landscape.
Yeah, I think my favorite story was Todd Blythe, the former Iowa State receiver, telling a story about crossing paths with Reese Morgan, and Reese was asking him about his brother. And this is a guy who didn't even go to Iowa, and Reese could still recall the recruitment and the family. Those guys are hard to replace. The depth chart came out today. Obviously, everybody's buzzing because you knew A.J. Epenesa was going to make an appearance there, but anything jump off the page at you, Scott?
Nothing really surprised me that much. I mean, you kind of wonder who's going to fit where. I thought strong safety, having Kayvon Merriweather there, was really kind of interesting. I thought, the tight end, that Sean Beyer was on there, and then also Ivory Kelly Martin was not on the depth chart, and I thought that was a little unusual, but it sounds like he's been injured, so he's probably not going to participate fully this spring, and so that means Mekhi Sargent and Torrin Young are kind of the 1-2 guys, and at least through the spring, but that doesn't mean anything's going to, something can change drastically by the end of spring. So I think those things kind of stood out for me, but by and large, I think everything kind of went to the way you expected it. And, there's some other interesting news stories. I mean, obviously, Davion Nixon is back with the team and will practice. That's a game changer. I mean, talent-wise, Iowa doesn't have a defensive tackle like him. So he wasn't on the depth charts, but I imagine by the end of spring we'll know if he's worthwhile. I talked to Tristan Wirfs about him last fall, and he just said he's a tank, and he's that if he was lining up for Indiana that week, he was going to be a problem. So I think that's a testament to how good he is.
Now, he was in the transfer portal during the spring, and there was some question as to whether he was going to return to Iowa City or not. So we got some closure. He will be back, and he is with the program.
Yeah, he's back with the program. He started working out a few weeks ago with the team, and then now he's, when practice starts tomorrow, he's full go. And, this is a guy that, he ended up, he was out of Racine, Wisconsin. He was going to be a tough academic guy all along. That's why a lot of schools stayed away from him, but Iowa really was persistent. Once he signed with Iowa initially, didn't qualify academically, went to Iowa Western, had a really good first season there. But then right after that was, Alabama ended up offering him a scholarship. Well, he was still technically tied to Iowa that semester. So Iowa was able to get him through, the compliance office. And then in the interim, he's had a few issues. But looks like everything came through for him and for the program. And, one thing we know with Kirk Ferentz is, there are plenty of things you can criticize him for, but, if he vouches for somebody's character, he's it's probably a pretty high character guy. So I think in this case, he could feel safe that, he's a good addition to the program in a lot of ways.
Scott Docterman with us from theathletic.com. No spring football game/scrimmage/whatever you want to call it this year due to the turf renovations inside Kinnick Stadium. Is this going to break your heart, Scott, not getting a chance to see these guys out there one time before spring football comes to a close?
I really hope I get to. I don't know about the rest of the people, but I hope that there's something, we can negotiate to see one little practice or something. But no, I think, it seems like this is almost a trend. Iowa State shut it down last year. Wisconsin did for the weather. And it was kind of like kicking the Super Bowl into February. It was like, okay, once you're there, now you could be there forever. And that's kind of the same way with these spring games, that programs didn't like it. They felt like it was a waste of a day. And so, in this case, Iowa State's not having one, and now Iowa won't, and who knows if they'll have one in the future. And I know some people like it or discuss it heavily because of, recruiting. I think people forget, recruits aren't that shallow. They don't just go to a spring game and say, wow, this is the place for me. I mean, there's so many other factors in the recruiting, but, I think you do want to, you want to be able to showcase your team in front of the fans. And, one of the smarter things they're doing is they're combining it with a baseball game to have kind of an autograph session. So I think that actually is pretty smart. So maybe you'll get a few more people to the baseball game and also get a chance to meet some of the football players.
The first reaction that I had was when you look at Iowa's spring game in the past, it hasn't exactly been super fan friendly. There's no tailgating allowed. There's no real game. It's sort of an open practice. Does this sort of seem like a reaction to that? And all right, let's do something fan friendly for the fans instead of a game where you're not going to get a huge amount of attendance like other schools around the country.
Yeah, I mean, once you take something away, you've got to replace it, or it feels like you're letting down your fan base. And no matter, what the good feelings are about the program, things can change awfully quick if you lose to Northwestern or somebody. So I think that, this is just, a way for, okay, people, by the end of some of these games, these spring games, there were more than a couple hundred people in the stands. So it wasn't like there was a, some sort of outpouring of fans going to these. I mean, if there was like 50,000 of them, then that's one thing. But, I get why they decided to do that. And if people can get up close and meet them and talk to them a little bit, then I don't think there's really that big of an issue. But spring games are kind of going away at certain places. Nebraska, obviously, they're not. But in Iowa, just never caught on. Some of the things I used to think they should do is like, let's say have one team be Greenway and one be Anger, and then you have, they pick the players and call plays and stuff. That'd be kind of fun, and I think people would go to it. But, they try to play it like a real practice, and that's, for a lot of people, that's pretty boring.
Scott, Kirk noted today that this was spring football kickoff number 21 for him. How much longer do you think he's going to do this?
I asked him that question a couple of weeks ago or a couple of month or two ago, whenever I talked to him one-on-one, and, he said, he kind of referenced Chuck Knoll and said, you know, Chuck Knoll just kind of knew it was time. And he goes, I haven't had that kind of epiphany yet, but he goes, I realize that, you know, I'm now in my 60s, and every time we, you know, lose a game or something, then people are going to expect me to leave. And he doesn't feel like he has that right now. He goes, I know those stories are going to get written. It's just my job to push them off into the future a little while longer. So, you know, he's in good shape. I think the program is at a better level today, sustainability wise, than it's been really in 8 or 9 years. I think this program is really in good shape. I mean, you look at, you know, 4 early entrants into the NFL draft. You look at a couple last year. I mean, they've won 37 games in the last 4 years. The 4-year block before that, they only won 26. So, I think this is in a good place. He's got people around him he likes. He's got the practice facility he wants. The south end zone is going to be completed. So I have no reason to believe that he's not going to poach there, you know, a few more years. I don't know if he'll reach the end of his contract, but I'd be surprised if he left before 3 years at least.
Scott, I know that the NFL draft is a month from yesterday, and you wrote about TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant. And some years you don't see two tight ends drafted in the first round at all, much less from the same school. Is it almost looking like a lock that both TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant will hear their name called on that Thursday?
Yeah, I think so. Unless something happens that we're not expecting, you know, from the combine or whatever. I mean, I really think that they're both not only drafted in the first round, but I think top half of the first round. I mean, you look at the teams from 7 to 12, every one of them needs a tight end, and every one of them could use a tight end like these guys. I mean, from Jacksonville and Detroit to, you know, the Buffalo Bills, the Broncos, the Packers. Packers would be so much better if they had either one of them. So I think those teams all could, you know, I could see a scenario where they're both gone by the 12th pick. And so, you know, it'll make history because that's never happened before. Two tight ends from the same team going in the first round. But, I mean, they're impact guys. It's not far-fetched to say by next year that three of the top tight ends in the NFL are Iowa products.
What about Imani Hooker and Anthony Nelson, two guys who were at the combine along with Fant and Hockenson? Where do you see them going on draft day?
I think they're both about second-round picks. I was listening to somebody from the Detroit Lions that really liked Anthony Nelson because he's, you know, he kind of fits what they're looking for. I mean, now that they're kind of New England West, you know, he's a guy who can play the edge and rush the passer, but he can also play the run and be kind of that stout defender. He's got versatility because of his size and his length. And, you know, he could play the 5 technique, you know, which is like a 3-4 defensive end right over the tackle, or he could play outside of him and rush the passer. And then Imani Hooker, the reviews are just raving about him, you know, just the way he, you know, his versatility, his speed. I mean, he probably, of anybody, solidified himself, you know, more in the combine than any other player. So I think, you know, everybody I've talked to thinks that they're both second rounders. I think there's a chance one or even both of them could, you know, slip into the third, but only early in the third. So I think there's a really good chance that Iowa could have four top two round guys, you know, and we can find out early on that Friday night.
From the people you've talked to, I know we haven't even gotten to this year's draft, but has the AJ Epenesa hype train started?
Yeah, well, I was at Indy. I asked several players who played against him just to kind of give me their thoughts. And, you know, and a couple of them, I didn't even want to prompt them. I think it was the Max Sharping, the Northern Illinois, you know, tackle. And, you know, he's probably a third round type of guy. And I said, you know, who's the best pass rusher he went up against? He goes, I'll give you two. And the first one he named was AJ Epenesa. And he's like, he's not here because he's not old enough, but he's got everything he won. And I think that's what everybody's looking at. I mean, 6'6", 280 now. And just, I mean, he played, you know, almost 200 fewer snaps than Parker Hesse and Anthony Nelson. And yet he, you know, tied for the Big Ten lead in sacks. So, you know, I think he's, you know, he might be a top five guy when it's all said and done, because pass rusher is kind of the after quarterback, the second most important position. And I think he might be the best player in the country at that position this year.
Scott, as we part ways with you once again tonight, your thoughts, how do you wrap up the basketball season? How do you put into words what we experienced with Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes this season?
You know, I think we're going to have to let it settle before we can really fairly evaluate it. I mean, there's kind of this knee-jerk, you know, in the after the first half, I think everybody was willing to say what a disappointing season it was. And then after the second half, you know, what a wonderful year it was. And I think, you know, in reality, this team may have overachieved a little bit. I think it's had the pieces to, you know, get to the tournament, which it did. I think you've got to admire that. I think the late kind of, you know, fall there where they lost, you know, four straight to end the regular season hurt them, you know, just because, you know, they got provided a lot of uncertainty going into the tournament. But I think they performed adequately and admirably, certainly, against Tennessee. So I think right now you've got to give it, if you're going to grade it, you're going to give it a B. I mean, it was a really strong effort by the players to get better. And I think it sets the stage for a potential good season next year. But that said, you know, a lot of teams were on the bubble that were really close with Iowa. They're going to be thinking the same way. So, you know, it's not automatic, you know. So I think this was a really good year for Iowa to bounce back from a horrendous year a year ago. But, you know, I think they left a little bit on the table, but they overachieved. I don't know if I'm, you know, trying to parse this a little bit the wrong way, but I do think that they had a pretty good year overall.
Scott Docterman of The Athletic, give him a read and give The Athletic a read. Baseball season right around the corner, Sweet 16 going on, a lot of great coverage there. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Always glad to have Scott on the program with us, and lots of football nuggets coming out of Iowa City today. You got Calvin Bell taking over on an official basis as the defensive line coach. Davion Nixon is a guy that we have yet to see in action, but there's been a lot of buzz around him, and there was also a cloud of uncertainty as to whether or not he would be with the team. And as Scott mentioned, he was in the portal, and he's back and in good standing, and I think a guy that could work his way into playing a very large role on the Hawkeyes this fall.
Yeah, I think that's especially a position where there's a need for players, quite honestly. That was one of those positions where you were seeing transfers leaving and graduation and just sort of an uncertainty up the middle in a position at defensive tackle where Iowa's usually strong and their best defenses are strong up the middle. So that's going to be very important. As I mentioned, we keep bringing up AJ Epenesa. He is that good, but it definitely can't hurt to have some guys in the middle and on the other side to take some attention away from him.
We are going to be chatting baseball heavily over the next hour. We will kick things off in just a few minutes with Rob Raines, a longtime beat writer who's covered the St. Louis Cardinals for a number of outlets across the St. Louis area. Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune will be with us at 6 o'clock tonight. Former Colonels left-hander Randy Rosario getting the final bullpen spot for Chicago. So Randy is going to be breaking camp with the Cubs. We'll get the latest, especially given the Kyle Hendricks news today out of Arizona. For those of you unfamiliar, Kyle Hendricks agreeing to an extension, a four-year extension, buying out his final year of arbitration and his first 3 years that he would have been eligible for free agency. So Cubs getting in on the extension game. Kyle is going to get in on the big board game when we return after this.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
The Cedar Rapids Kiwanis Club will host its 43rd annual Pancake Breakfast for Kids March 30th at Xavier High School. Tickets are $6 in advance, $7 at the door. Carry out is also available. Money raised benefits the youth right here in our community.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here, or wherever you need us to be, harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. Deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day. Explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their five PGA Indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini golf, skee ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games, and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot. Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
Wow. It's kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
5:26, welcome back in as we make our way toward 7 o'clock tonight. Todd and Alex with you until then. Rob Raines chatting St. Louis Cardinals baseball with us coming up in just a few minutes. Mark Gonzalez covering things from a Chicago Cubs angle shortly. The NFL owners meeting is going on this week. It's sort of interesting because the Robert Kraft news that dominated the headlines very recently. Kraft, by the way, has requested a jury trial for his embroilment in that prostitution scandal in Florida. This is fascinating. The coaches voted unanimously to look at adding an additional booth official. Did you see this?
I did see
this.
The
booth official would be able to weigh in on things like pass interference and basically interject himself into the game. And the coaches are unanimous about this, and the owners don't want it. The owners are telling them there's no way it's going to get put to a vote. I don't know why you wouldn't.
Why do the owners not want this? That's what is their end game?
I don't know why you wouldn't at least explore that or maybe look into it a little bit further, but the owners appear to be shooting this down. So coaches and owners not seeing eye to eye. Pretty fascinating stuff. Andy Reid, by the way, looking sharp. As always, let's bring Kyle into the studio. He's got a big board update.
Iowa spring football practices begin tomorrow, and with that comes a fresh batch of football-related news. The program announced this morning that there will not be an open practice this year because the turf inside Kinnick needs to be replaced as a result of flooding in the area last summer. Instead, there's going to be an autograph session at the April 20th baseball game, as well as a Meet the Hawkeyes event, for which details will be released in the coming weeks. We also got our first look at a depth chart for the upcoming season. Alaric Jackson and Tristan Wirfs remain at the tackles, with Cole Banward at center and the Paulsons beside him. Along the D-line is Chauncey Golson, Cedric Lattimore, Brady Reef, and A.J. Epinesa. Linebackers are Neiman, Welch, and Colbert, and Kevon Merriweather and Geno Stone are your new starting safeties. He didn't appear on the depth chart, but we also learned today that defensive lineman Davion Nixon will remain a Hawkeye. I mentioned yesterday that Iowa State's Steve Prohm had been mentioned as a possible candidate for the open Alabama job. Alex mentioned late in the show a report that the Cyclones may move to extend him in response to those rumors, and the announcement came this morning that Prohm has in fact been extended through 2025. And that's one Cyclone staying, but there's another one going. Sophomore Cam Lard has displayed great talent at times throughout his career, but has also been suspended three times, so it came as no surprise to many when he announced today he'll be transferring. He says he has no issues with coaches and just wants to start fresh elsewhere. Tonight after the show, we're going to have a really good NBA matchup. We'll have the league-best Milwaukee Bucks taking on the streaking Houston Rockets on all three frequencies, tipping right as we leave the air.
The Iowa State women saw their season come to an end last night in a little bit of a stunning upset at the NCAA tournament in Ames. They lose 69-60 to Missouri State. Bridget Carlton, 31 points in that contest. She falls seven shy of becoming the school's all-time leading scorer. Iowa baseball in action today. It looks like a nice day out through the window
it's
here on
bad.
The southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Not bad college baseball weather. Bottom of the fourth, they are in. The Bradley Braves with a 2-0 lead on the Hawkeyes. Don't worry too much about those midweek games. It's an opportunity for some of the young pitchers and some of the young players to get some action in there. We'll keep you updated on that game as we move along towards 7 o'clock. And speaking of baseball, opening day, the real opening day for most of us, including Cubs and Cardinals fans, will be Thursday. We want you to come hang out with us at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. It's the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We're going to be doing a 2-hour show that day because we will be off at 6 o'clock for the Sweet 16. But stick around because the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to spend it chatting with you, talking about the games going on, baseball, basketball, whatever you want to chat with us about. Plus, you're going to have an opportunity to take home tickets to see Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, which is coming to the Paramount Theater next month. All of that and then some if you join us for the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Again, Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road. Put it on your calendars for this Thursday. We want to see you there. Cardinals getting things started along with the rest of Major League Baseball. Rob Raines discusses Mike Schilt's team with us next.
This bottom of the hour SportsCenter update is being brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 15 years of service.
Hi, this is Steve Anderson, a lifelong diehard Hawkeye fan.
Steve and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement wish the best of luck to the Iowa women's basketball team as they continue in the College Hoops Tournament. When Steve's not cheering on the Hawks,
I'm helping people like you with property titles, abstracts, escrow, and closings at Hawkeye Title and Settlement.
Steve Anderson and everybody at Hawkeye Title and Settlement are the team you love, the people you trust.
I'm always a Hawkeye fan.
Get in touch at HawkeyeTitle.com and
go Hawks!
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Patriots owner Robert Kraft officially entered a not guilty plea today to charges on 2 misdemeanor counts of first-degree solicitation and has asked for a jury trial. He's among more than 200 people charged in a Florida massage parlor investigation. The NFL's competition committee introduced a new proposal for expanding replay that would allow some non-calls to be reviewed. Response to a meeting yesterday where all 32 coaches expressed support for finding a way to correct clear and obvious officiating mistakes, no matter how they happen. ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
The league is looking for ways to try to improve the officiating, to see anything they could do to avoid the type of controversy that fell down on the league last year in the NFC Championship game when the officials missed that call, and whether that means not having all-star crews, whether that means coaches will be allowed to challenge certain plays like pass interference.
NBA Celtics point guard Kyrie Irving won't play tonight against the Cavaliers due to load management. Forwards Al Horford and Jason Tatum will both play. The NHL leading Lightning signed coach John Cooper to a multi-year extension.
Hey, it's Sagat. Join us Wednesday, a full breakdown to get you ready for the NIT quarterfinals. That's Wednesday on the Dan Levitard Show with me, Sagat, on ESPN Radio.
Years of hard work can take you far. And no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
The years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years, even with zero IT experience. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Is your check engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let our professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. We'll retrieve the codes, discuss possible solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today for our free check engine light help. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
Hiring used to be hard, multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, but today hiring can be easy and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. ZipRecruiter.com/will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
That's the most asinine marketing I've ever heard of.
Well, if that doesn't get you in the mood for Thursday, I don't know what will at this point. Opening day for most Major League Baseball teams, at least those not playing in Oakland or Seattle, since they opened the season last week in the wee hours of the morning here in the Central Time Zone. But opening day for the teams that most of us follow and care about here in the Midwest coming up on Thursday. That includes the Cubs and the Cardinals. We're talking Cubs baseball with Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune to kick off the 6 o'clock hour. But Alex, we'll start with your Cardinals. How about that? Rob Raines joining us now, longtime Cardinals observer, writes at STLSportsPage.com. And Rob, what's the feeling around the Cardinals as they get ready to kick off the 2019 season?
I think it's exciting. I think that they feel like, you know, especially now that they've got Goldschmidt locked up for the next 6 years. I mean, I think the feeling is very, very positive. It was a very good spring training camp. The vibe was good. You know, I think everybody is raring to go.
You mentioned it right there, just how much of a boost for morale was locking up a superstar player like Paul Goldschmidt for the next 5 years.
I think it was probably more beneficial for like the front office and the fans than the team, you know, because I think the players don't look that far ahead of time. You know, they're a game by game and even like a year by year basis, because, you know, how many of those guys are on the team right now are still going to be here in 5 years. You know, I mean, some of them, but, you know, it just changes so much. I don't think they have that long-term, you know, kind of view that all the rest of us do. So I think for them, they knew he was going to be here for this year. They're worried about trying to win now, and they'll worry about what happens, you know, 5 years from now, 5 years from now.
What was it about St. Louis that led him to make this decision? Because the initial reports were that this was going to be short term. He wasn't interested in signing an extension. And before he's even played a game at Busch Stadium, he's getting married for the long term here.
Yeah, I think it was the interesting thing was from the Cardinals' perspective, because they had said all along when they got the deal done in December that, you know, they weren't going to put any immediate pressure on him and try to talk about extension and right away and all that kind of stuff. They wanted him to actually come to St. Louis, play some games here, get to know the city, have his family. You know, he's got a wife and two young kids, get them to experience the city a little bit, and then kind of, you know, I was expecting sometime around the All-Star break, which get serious and see if we want to do something here, you know, and then it just kind of happened really quickly. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that I think he's built to be a Cardinal. I mean, if everything, you know, what I saw in spring training and what I know about him from the past is, you know, everything tells you that he's the kind of guy that, you know, Cardinal fans are really going to like. And the fact that, you know, he's the way he plays the game, the kind of way he lives his life is something that, you know, kind of the Midwest values and all that kind of stuff, I think is going to fit right in. So it didn't really surprise me that he's staying. The timing of it surprised me that they got it done so quickly.
What about the guy hitting behind him in the lineup? What is the right shoulder of Marcell Ozuna? What is his health going into the season?
Well, it depends on how they have the lineup structured. It could be Paul DeYoung.
That is true.
That's what I think you'll see on Thursday. I think Goldsmith's going to bat second, at least from the start of the season. But Ozuna, you know, his shoulder is better. I mean, he talked this spring about it being as good as it's been in several years. You know, he's had to obviously alter his mechanics a little bit and change his swing path and things like that, because I think he got into some bad habits, especially last year because of that shoulder. He was trying to play around it, and you know, to his credit, he never used the shoulder being hurt as an excuse last year. You know, he played, you know, almost every game and you know, had a decent season, certainly not the season that the Cardinals expected. So I think he feels like he's going to be better. He feels like he's going to be as good as he was in 17, you know, with the Marlins. And I think, you know, obviously he's got a lot of incentive going for him because he's a free agent at the end of the year. And there's, you know, while they're locking up Goldschmidt, locking up, you know, Michaelis and some of the other free agents to be, there's been no talk at all about, you know, trying to do an extension with him. So, you know, I think he kind of see that and realize that he's going to have to go out and perform well, not only if he wants to stay here, but if he wants to get the kind of contract that he probably thinks he wants to get on the open market somewhere else.
Gearing up for opening day with Rob Raines, Cardinals open at Milwaukee. Let's stay in the outfield here because this is interesting to me. Dexter Fowler is a guy that has taken a lot of slings and arrows from Cardinals fans over the last couple of years, but mm-hmm. it seems to have dedicated himself or rededicated himself to this fan base this offseason. What's the outlook for Dexter Fowler as the season dawns?
That's kind of the million-dollar question. You know, I mean, the Cardinals, you know, a lot of people thought, well, they should go get Bryce Harper and things like that, and it never happened. They made an early commitment to Dexter and said he's going to be the guy, and now he's got that opportunity, and we'll see if he can run with it. You know, I think he was better in the spring, not necessarily in terms of on-field success, but just he seemed happier, seemed to be more engaged with his teammates and you know, around and doing things the right way. So we'll see if all that translates to success on the field. You know, he's going to get the opportunity. I mean, I don't know that, you know, we're sitting here at the All-Star break if he's, you know, hitting 200, if he's still going to be the starting right fielder every day. But, you know, they've got Martinez, they've got O'Neill who could both play the right field, and we'll get opportunities too. But they're going to get Dexter, you know, every chance to succeed here, at least I think for the first couple of months of the season.
We all know how good the Harrison Bader is in center field. He showed some promise offensively at times last year. Is there an outlook that he could continue progressing at the plate?
Yes. I think he's one of the guys they really feel is going to benefit from working with Jeff Albert, the new hitting coach, and kind of hopefully cutting down on his strikeouts and being able to put the ball in play and use his speed. And then, you know, because of his defense, you know, especially if he's batting, you know, seventh or eighth, he doesn't have to hit, you know, 320. He doesn't have to hit 25 home runs. He can help them and be a very effective player by hitting, you know, 275 and stealing 20 bases and just playing gold glove caliber defense. So I think that's kind of what their goal is for him, is to be able to become more of a contact hitter. And, you know, he's got enough pop that he's going to hit some home runs if he plays every day. I mean, he could hit 15 home runs, maybe on the outside hit 20. But, you know, that's not the best part of his game. And I think, you know, just let's see what kind of approach he can make to the plate and, you know, draw some more walks and cut down on the strikeouts and put the ball in play. Then if he can do all those things, he'll be a very effective player for them.
Let's talk rotation news. It was announced yesterday that Dakota Hudson has landed that number 5 spot, beating out John Gant. To Hudson, outstanding as a reliever last year. There's some questions about his strikeout and walk numbers and whether or not he's a long-term fit in the rotation, but he's been nothing short of outstanding this spring. Is he going to stick there at least for a while?
I think so. I think, you know, I really think that they have the making of a terrific rotation. As soon as, you know, next year probably better than this year. When if you're going to look at next year and you have Michaelis, Flaherty, Hudson, and Reyes as four of your, you know, main four starting pitchers, I don't think it's going to be much teams in baseball that would have a better rotation than that. And especially with you know, Flaherty, Hudson, and Reyes being as young as they are, next year I'll be 25 years old or younger. So, you know, I really do like all of those guys. Hudson, you know, was the pitcher of the year in the Texas League 2 years ago, the pitcher of the league in the PCL last year as a starting pitcher. Go 1.25 or whatever was ERA this spring. The games that he started in the spring around one run in 18 innings. So, yeah, I think it's a lot of ground balls. I think the strikeout thing is overrated. I think, you know, if he can get a ground ball out, that's just as good as a strikeout. You know, walking people obviously is important. You don't want to do that, but he's really never been a reliever. I mean, he made a few relief appearances, but he's never been a reliever until last year and did flourish in that role. But I think, you know, he's built to be a starting pitcher, and I think he's going to succeed there, you know, right off the bat.
Rob, it seemed like the mystery of the spring, that would be the shoulder of Carlos Martinez. What do we know about his health and the news that he is going to be on the injured list to start the season?
Yeah, not a surprise. I mean, obviously, you look at spring training, you know, basically pitchers have 6 weeks to get ready. And once he missed the first month of spring training, I mean, you knew there was no way he was going to be ready to pitch, even as a reliever. There just wasn't enough time. So, you know, he's throwing. He stayed behind in Jupiter. He's throwing. He's going to work his way up to throwing some bullpens and then throwing some live BPs. And then they'll at some point make a decision on whether they want to have him progress as a starter or as a reliever. I don't think you'll see him in any event, even as a reliever, until at least the end of April. In St. Louis or in a Cardinal uniform, because it just takes that much time to get ready, even if he's going to pitch an inning, which I think, you know, unless, you know, somebody gets hurt in that rotation or there's, you know, a big drop off in what their expectations are for those guys, I think his, you know, key to success and key to pitching this year will be in the bullpen. So, you know, I think you'll see him sometime end of April, first part of May, in that relief role, and then we'll just see. I mean, they indicated that they think the shoulder is stronger. I think actually there's probably less wear and tear on that shoulder in a relief role too. So, you know, he came back last year and did well in that role. And with that rotation, if you put Martinez with Reyes and Andrew Miller and Jordan Hicks trying to get the last nine outs of a ball game, I think I like their chances, you know, more nights than not.
Miles Michaelis or Jack Flaherty, who's the ace of that staff this year?
I think it'll be Flaherty. Anyway, I mean, Michaelis will be good, but I don't think he's, you know, he was so good last year that you know, anything less than that will be a drop-off, and I, you know, be hard for him basically to repeat and be as good as he was last year, whereas I think Flaherty will be better than he was last year. I think he's a star in the making. I think he's just going to be continue to grow and blossom and just become, you know, one of the elite pitchers in the league.
I'm not going to ask if he can replicate what he did last year, because that's going to be very, very difficult. But what's the outlook for Matt Carpenter now as he's going to play full-time at third base?
I think from a confidence standpoint, he's doing fine because he knows he's going to hit leadoff. He knows there's no question about that. He's happy about that. And I know we get into all the talk about why he can't hit anywhere else, and nobody knows the answer to that. It's just one of those unsolved mysteries of life that we have to deal with and put behind us. But so he's going to hit there. And I think he altered his throwing motion and his mechanics this winter. He learned, you know, he knew he was going to play third, you know, well enough into the off season. He had plenty of time to work on it. So, you know, the fielding, the position has never really been a problem. It's been the throws that have been the problem. And I think he's going to be better at that for a couple of reasons. One, I think he worked on his strengthening his shoulder and kind of altering his motion a little bit to get, you know, to be more effective. And I think having Goldschmidt at first base just gives him a more confident level that if I can get it close over there, that Goldschmidt's going to catch it. You know, so there's less pressure on having to make a perfect throw every time than that you had to do when he was playing third in the past. So I think he's, you know, he's obviously still going to be a better offensive player than a defensive player. I don't know if he's going to hit 37 home runs, but if Goldschmidt's sitting behind him, I think he's going to get on base a lot and score a lot of runs. And that's probably obviously, you know, going to be key to this club's success. So I look for him to have a very good season.
Rob, what can St. Louis fans reasonably expect to see from Alex Reyes this year?
I hope they see him healthy and pitching the whole year. And that would be the first thing. I mean, they want to accomplish there. I mean, he's going to be a starting pitcher. The question is just when. The hardest part about putting him in the bullpen is they don't want to just limit his innings so severely. You know, their goal for him is to get somewhere between 100 and 120 innings this season. And if he's strictly just pitching an inning at a time, you know, every, you know, 3 or 4 days in the bullpen, that's going to be tough to do. So, you know, that's going to be where they're going to have to figure out something at some point during the middle of the season. Is they want to try to get him in some spot starts, or are you going to get him in some, you know, almost do some like bullpen games where you can count on him to pitch 3 or 4 innings? Because that's what they want. They want him to get, you know, into that 100 inning range and then, you know, obviously transition into being a full time starter next season. But the main goal is just to hope he gets through the season without any more injury problems.
Rob, I thought one of the more intriguing signings a couple of weeks ago was that of Matt Wieters. Now, he beat out Francisco Pena for that backup catcher spot. Do the Cardinals finally have a backup catcher to at least give the 36-year-old Yadier Molina a couple more days off per year?
In theory, yes. In reality, who knows? Because Molina never wants to come out of the lineup, you know that. And it's, as long as he's healthy, as long as he's playing well, he's going to play. I mean, but I do think that Wieters is the best backup guy, assuming that he's, you know, has a – that he can still play at the level that he's played at in the past, you know, when he's been a Gold Glove caliber and all-star, you know, catcher. You know, I think that he is the best backup they've had. The fact that he hits left-handed gives him a plus. You know, if there is a tough, particularly tough right-hander that they want to give Yadi a day off on, you know, I think that would be fine, and Wieters will catch. But, you know, they're going to ride Molina still. I mean, there's no reason not to. I mean, he's just kind of defying Father Time. It's been an amazing thing. And I think, you know, Wieters probably would have – well, there's two things. I think, number one, you know, given a choice, he would have probably gone to a team that would have offered him more playing time. But second, at this point in his career, he talked about it, you know, the fact that he really wants to be on a winning club. I mean, that's you know, kind of another goal of his. He's made a lot of money. He doesn't necessarily need it for the money standpoint in his, you know, in his, you know, future of his career the next couple of years as he gets toward the end here. But, you know, if he can win, that's something that's more important to him. But I think the main thing was he came to the Cardinals because he said that was the only offer he had. You know, and that was, you know, kind of the reality of the free agent market this year.
Rob, there are no teams, at least at first blush, that look like they're actively trying to lose in the NL Central this year. Are we in for a, not necessarily a five-team race, but what are your thoughts on what this division is going to look like in 2019?
I think it's going to be terrific. I mean, I think especially the top three teams, I think there is a gap. You know, you get the Cardinals, Cubs, and Brewers. Obviously, they were the three best teams a year ago. I think they'll be the three best teams again. You know, pick them out of a hat as far as whatever order you think they'll finish in. You know, I think the Reds will be better than they were a year ago, but I don't think they're quite up to that level. Their pitching still leaves a little bit to be desired. I think Pittsburgh's going through some reorganization a little bit as they kind of try to find some younger players and get back, you know, kind of in the race a little bit. So I think they'll be, you know, a little less than the other teams, but not certainly not to the level where they're going to lose 110 games or something like that. You know, I think you'll have every team, you know, including the Pirates and the Reds, be close to 500. So, yeah, I think, you know, the key for the Cardinals, the key for the Brewers, key for the Cubs is to win those games against, you know, be able to play well against each other, but then win the games when you're playing the lesser teams, and not only in the division but elsewhere in the league. That's, you know, that's going to be the kind of secret to building up that win total, I think. You know, from the Cardinals' standpoint, they've got 10 of their first 24 games are against the Brewers. So, you know, right off the bat, they're going to play, you know, almost half of the times they're going to play against the Brewers all season. It's going to be here in the first month of the season. So, and the Brewers obviously have got some injury problems in the bullpen. So this, it, you know, I think April is going to be – it's always an important month in the season, but I think it might be more important for the Cardinals this year for a couple of reasons than it is in some other years. One is because of that schedule being top heavy. And then the second thing is, I think they just had, you know, very positive vibes and very positive confidence, you know, coming out of the end of last season and then coming all the way through spring training and the off season this year. And I think they need to get off to that good start to kind of keep that vibe going and to kind of still have that confidence level at a high point that they can do this and play at that level for a complete season.
STLSportsPage.com is the website. Rob Raines, we appreciate it as the Cardinals get ready to kick off the season in Milwaukee on Thursday. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Thank you. It'll be a fun season.
Rob Raines, longtime Cardinals beat man, and we will switch our attention to their nemesis, the Chicago Cubs. Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune with us in about 7, 8, 9 minutes, give or take here to kick off the third and final hour of the program. It's going to be a fun season. We will get to our predictions at some point this week. I know there are a lot of things to get to, but perhaps that's something for us to tackle tomorrow on the program. I know people are just dying to find out what we think about the American League West and the National League East. But we will bring those to the table for you tomorrow and perhaps some picks for postseason awards. That's always fun to revisit at the end of the baseball season. But Cardinals looking to fly high. I do think they've got the makings of a really good rotation this year. And it's going to be how guys bounce back. Dexter Fowler, Marcell Ozuna. How does Paul Goldschmidt fit into the mix there? And can Mike Schilt find that magic that he had when he first took over for Mike Matheny last year in what should be a three-team race, as Rob pointed out. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Again, a little Cubs discussion on the way in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll also hear what Kirk Ferentz had to say earlier today in Iowa City as the Hawkeyes kicked off spring practices. They will do so officially tomorrow. Kirk Ferentz kicking things off with a media availability today. 5:54, a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll tell you how you can get registered for some fun, the Crandick Marathon. And Kyle's going to squeeze in a big board update after this.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
The Cubs today got in on the extension craze that swept Major League Baseball in recent weeks. Right-handed starter Kyle Hendricks was rewarded with a four-year contract extension from the team that includes a vesting option for 2024. He'll make $55.5 million over the life of the deal, which won't kick in until next year. That means Hendricks will make his previously scheduled $7.4 million this season. The Cubs have succeeded in buying out the final year of Hendricks' arbitration as well as what would have been the first 3 years of his free agency. The righty's been a steady performer for the team since debuting with the Cubs in 2014. His 2.13 ERA led the majors during the team's 2016 run to the World Series, and he owns a 52-33 record with a 3.07 ERA over 133 games. Hendricks is not scheduled to pitch in the season opening series at Texas. John Lester, Yu Darvish, and Cole Hamels will take the first three turns in the team's rotation.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
I'm fired, aren't I?
Oh, yes.
Or if you're Tim Miles, you're fired, but you're just going to coach for another week, week and a half, and we'll leave you twisting in the wind as we've already got your replacement lined up. Again, not exactly the greatest look for Nebraska, which is expected to hire Fred Hoiberg sometime in the next 7 to 14 days. That's Bill Moose's timeline, the athletic director in Lincoln. He has not said Hoiberg is his guy, but he does have a timeline to get a new coach in place in the next 2 weeks. That's not the only coaching news today. Arkansas are reportedly moving on from Mike Anderson. Kelvin Sampson, who's currently at Houston coaching the Cougars in the Sweet 16, the leading candidate there, at least the first choice. The Crandick Marathon is coming up, and you can get registered by going to our website, kgymradio.com. Do so before April 24th. They are back again this year, the second year. The fundraiser benefits the Cedar Rapids and Iowa City Community School Districts. Several options, full and half marathon, four-person marathon, 5K, 10K routes. Details available at kgymradio.com. Kyle is with us. He's going to fill you in on what's going on with a big board update.
Iowa spring football practices begin tomorrow, and with that comes a fresh batch of football-related news. The program announced this morning there will not be an open practice this year because the turf inside Kinnick needs to be replaced as a result of flooding in the area last summer. Instead, there's going to be an autograph session at the April 20th baseball game against Nebraska, as well as a Meet the Hawkeyes event, for which details will be released in the coming weeks. We also got our first look at a depth chart for the upcoming season. Alaric Jackson and Tristan Wirfs remain at the tackles, with Cole Banward at center and the Paulsons beside him. Along the D-line is Chauncey Golston, Cedric Lattimore, Brady Reef, and A.J. Epinesa. Linebackers are Neiman Welch and Colbert, and Kevon Merriweather and Geno Stone are your new starting safeties. And he didn't appear on the depth chart, but we did learn today that defensive lineman Davion Nixon will remain a Hawkeye. I mentioned yesterday Iowa State's Steve Prohm had been mentioned as a possible candidate for the open Alabama job. Alex mentioned late in the show a report that the Cyclones may move to extend him in response to those rumors, and the announcement came this morning that Prohm has in fact been extended through 2025. He's won at least 23 games in three of his four seasons and has two Big 12 tournament titles. That's one Cyclone staying, but there's another one leaving. Sophomore Cam Ward has displayed great talent at times throughout his career, but has also been suspended three times, so it came as no surprise to many when he announced today he'll be transferring. Says he's got no issues with the coaches and just wants to start fresh elsewhere. Tonight after the show, we've got a really good NBA matchup between the league-best Bucks and the streaking Houston Rockets on all three frequencies, tipping right as we get off the air.
Poll question at kgymradio.com today. Would you feel bad if spring football games went the way of the dinosaur? It's brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. No spring game for Iowa State or Iowa this year. Nebraska, spring football game. They'll sell that thing out at $10 a pop. Maybe introduce Fred Hoiberg at the same time. Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune is with us next to discuss the Kyle Hendricks extension and more.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. With Friday's showdown against the Pacers looming, the Celtics look to get back on track in tonight's visit to Cleveland. Boston's lost four straight and is two games back of Indiana for fourth in the East and home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. Celtics players insisting they'll be fine once the postseason starts. That attitude, though, just one maddening aspect of this season's Celtics, points out ESPN's Brian Windhorst.
What's so frustrating about this team is that you see them play well, you know their potential, but then you see what they say about it, and you just like, do they even have any idea that what they need to do to get into the playoff mode? If I was a Celtics fan, I would be extraordinarily frustrated. Imagine being like the Celtics ownership or even being Brad Stevens.
Celtics point guard Kyrie Irving won't play due to load management tonight. Forwards Al Horford and Jason Tatum both will play. A pair of MVP candidates face off tonight when Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks welcome James Harden and the Rockets. Coverage bottom of the hour, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Patriots owner Robert Kraft officially entered a not guilty plea today to charges on two misdemeanor counts of first-degree solicitation of prostitution and has asked for a jury trial. He's one of more than 200 men charged as part of a crackdown on massage parlor prostitution. Astros shortstop Carlos Correa with a sore neck, questionable for Thursday's opener at Tampa Bay. Nebraska parted ways with basketball coach Tim Miles, and according to ESPN's Jeff Borzello, the favorite to replace him is former Iowa State and Chicago Bulls coach Fred Hoiberg. Hoiberg has interest in returning to the college game.
Coming up Wednesday, can one game decide who will be the NBA MVP? We'll recap two MVP favorites facing off in the Rockets against the Bucks. And if you've ever wanted to go to the NFL draft, something big is coming. Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
In sports, as in life, the best rise to the top. That's how college brackets work. And it's how Third Base Brewery has curated their in-house brews for the past 20 years. Only the greatest survive. Maybe that's why friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in and watch the madness unfold at Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Great lineups. The 27 Yankees, the 75 Reds, the 82 Brewers. On KGYM, it's U Nash and Dukes on the Gym Class and the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. On Smart FM, Just John steps up to the plate in the mornings. Greg's at bat from 10 until 3. And Rick hits musical home runs on your afternoon drive home. Smart Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the buy one, get one free paint sale at Ace, our biggest paint sale of the year. Buy a gallon of our top paint brands like Valspar and Clark and Kensington and get the second free. And you know what else is free? Our help. With the Ace Extra Mile Promise, get everything you need to paint in one trip or deliveries free. Don't miss the buy one, get one free paint sale, now through Monday, only at Ace. Limit 2, delivery subject to availability. Visit acehardware.com for more details.
Who's a sweetheart? Who's Auntie Sprinter's pal? You are. Oh, Donna, he's so cute. Thanks, isn't he? Ugh, I wish my wireless bill were cute.
I hate opening this thing every month.
Stop overpaying for wireless and upgrade to the brilliant iPhone XR with Sprint.
Why?
Because Sprint will give you both an unlimited plan and the brilliant iPhone XR lease for just $35 per month.
Both? For that price?
Both.
Both?
Was that the baby?
How did he say that without teeth?
Right now at Sprint, get an unlimited plan and an iPhone XR lease for just $35 per month. And there's no trade-in required. Visit a Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1.
Phone $15 per month after 16.25 per month. Credit apply within 2 bills. Requires 18-month lease. If canceled early, remaining balance due after 4/30/2020. Pay $32 per line with auto pay for unlimited basic. One Hulu ad supported plan for account. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums. Use rules. Free activation fee and restrictions apply.
Calling all contractors, announcing the Ferguson and Ram Commercial Ultimate Van Giveaway. We're handing over the keys to a Ram Commercial ProMaster van stacked so high with brand name tools, you'll be glad you've got that 76 inches of cargo height. We'll even brand it for you, so there'll be no doubt who's riding in style. Worth over 100,000 big ones, enter at Ferguson.com/Ram Van Giveaway. Hear that? That's opportunity honking.
No purchase necessary. For official rules and eligibility details, visit Ferguson.com/Ram Van Giveaway.
Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Never heard of.
I'm not surprised. More people watch the fish tank at Leo's pet store.
Third and final hour of the program, kicking off with a little Cubs talk in just a second. You can join us for opening day festivities Thursday at Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road. We'll do the show from 4 until 6. The final hour, 6 until 7, just spent hanging out with you, either watching baseball or Sweet 16 action. Mulligan's, half-price wings from 6 until close on Thursday. The KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. With us now, it's been a while since we've heard from him. He's the Cubs beat writer at the Chicago Tribune. Mark Gonzalez, kind enough to take some time to join us here in eastern Iowa. And Mark, we had some pretty big Cubs news today. The Cubs finally got in on the extension game, 4 years for Kyle Hendricks, buying out the first 3 years of his what would have been his free agency. How has this move been received?
It's been received very well on both sides. Kyle professed the willingness to stay here. The Cubs have always felt strongly about Kyle, not only as a pitcher, but as a person and a leader. He's done a lot behind the scenes here during his 5 years as a Cub, and I think it results in a happy marriage that's been extended.
Is he one of those guys that sort of gets forgotten in all of this turnaround? And I'm not going to say that he's necessarily an underrated pitcher because he's been so consistent over his tenure in Chicago, but he's one of those guys that's not flashy but gets the job done.
Yeah, he's really workmanlike. I think that there's not a lot of glitter around what he does, but it's so impressive that he's so efficient. You know, he's different than today's pitcher. He throws, less than 90 miles an hour. He works on deception. He's a workout fiend. You know, he's a big yoga guy as well. So he has his own plan, and he works it very well to his advantage.
And yet he's not going to be taking a turn in the rotation in that opening series at Texas. The Cubs announcing they'll go with Lester, Darvish, and Hamels. How has Darvish looked this spring? I know he had the blister issue, but if the Cubs are going to have a great deal of success this year, he's going to have a big-time bounce back.
Yeah, until he developed a blister last week, he was making great strides. You know, the arm is fine. Health is not an issue right now. I think for him, it's just going to be throwing quality strikes, getting the swing and miss stuff, because if you look at this rotation, they really don't have a powerhouse, overpowering pitcher other than Darvish. You can be that guy, and they definitely need a starter who has bonafide swing and miss stuff. You know, Hamels does it on occasion with his curveball, but the rest of the staff depends on location and putting the ball in play to the defenders. Darvish is the opposite, and they definitely need him to get induce some swing and miss stuff and really take a load off the defenders.
Let's go to the other big news that was brought to light yesterday. Were you surprised that Ian Happ will start the season in Des Moines?
I was a little surprised only because I thought they could have done it last year. The roster didn't indicate they had somebody who could push him for that last spot. He did hit 39 homers the last two seasons, but his strikeout rate was alarming. And I think it just got to a point now where there were two things. One is As you know, the team's in win-now mode. There's no time to develop on the major league level. And two, he needs to shore up his strike zone and really cut down on his vulnerability against right-handed pitchers and putting the ball in play more and just cutting down the strikeouts, because he is very versatile. He lends a lot of value to this organization, but at this point, they just need somebody who they can rely on more at the plate.
Mark Zagunas looks like he's going to essentially get that spot with the team. Cubs fans know him from a cameo that we've seen him get a little cup of coffee. Any expectations for him as he opens camp with the team?
Not high expectations, but I think it's a terrific reward for somebody who's really persevered through the organization. You know, he was a third-round pick in 2014 and put up decent numbers, but not overwhelming numbers. And there was, you know, an asterisk next to his name because he appeared to be like a passive hitter, you know, looking for the walk, get on base, nothing wrong with that, but he wasn't driving the ball. And this spring, thanks to some good health and a change in his swing path, he's displayed great power. You know, he's hit four home runs this spring, added a triple today against the Red Sox. He looks a lot like the guy that they thought they were going to get when they drafted him in the third round in 2014.
And the guy who should benefit the most from Hap going to Des Moines looks to be Albert Elmora. Is there a chance that he grabs that everyday center field job and is moving beyond a platoon guy?
They're very careful to not say everyday guy. This thing is going to get more opportunities. But to this point, you know, spring training stats don't matter, but he's really hit the ball with authority, and even against right-handers, which everybody thought he'd have some trouble with. The fact is he's made some strides against righties. He's carried that over to spring training. And I think, you know, he's not going to say he's a very mature kid for 24, 25. He's not going to declare that this is my chance. He's just going to take what's given to him. And I think in this case, he's really going to have a chance to take this job and run with it. I wouldn't be surprised if he did that.
Now, I know there's been a lot of hand-wringing about the bullpen. There are some injuries out there. Is Pedro Strop ready to be the closer at this point to begin the season?
If it were me, I'd say yes. And he's passed a series of tests lately. The velocity's still there. He's healthy. I think there's going to be a test at some point if somebody tries to bunt on him to test the hamstring. But you look at the other options, you know, right now, you know, Brad Brock isn't throwing that hard. Carl Edwards Jr. might be a guy that's needed more to get that big out against lefties and righties in the seventh inning. So I don't want to say it's Strope by default, because certainly he's earned it, but I think when you look at the options, he's the best choice by far.
Cubs beat writer Mark Gonzalez with us of the Chicago Tribune. You mentioned the team is in win-now mode. This is I can't explain the where the fan base is at coming into this season to people who don't follow the Cubs, because a casual observer would look and go, hey, they won the World Series in 2016. Joe Maddon's had them in the postseason every year he's been on the job, and yet here we go. No contract extension for Maddon. Sort of feels like a lame duck year for him. And what do you make of this offseason that the Cubs had? It's been a lot of angst.
Yeah, and they've put a lot of trust in the guys who struggled last year at some juncture. So they've added some support staff help. You know, they retooled the coaching staff, added some guys as well who were not too far removed from their playing days. But ultimately, it's on the players, and I think Joe's fate's going to be dictated by how these young guys, these millennials, fare, because last year was more than a bucket of cold water in their faces. They expected to go farther than they did, you know, the wild card game. But the fact is, they won 95 games. It wasn't enough because they didn't have that power against the Brewers when they were up by 5-26 to play. They let the Brewers get back in. The Brewers seized the moment. So I know a lot of people can say, well, the Brewers deserved it by the way they finished. And certainly winning 8 games down the stretch will help it. But the fact is, the Cubs had a chance to put the Brewers away and didn't do it. Therefore, there was a lot of self-examination. You know, the offense was struggling quite a bit in the second half. And the end result is, you know, they don't aspire to be average over there at Wrigley Field. They want to win every year. And the fact that they didn't go deeper, at least go to the NLCS for a fourth consecutive year, was a wake-up call for everybody.
Now, you mentioned that the front office is putting a lot of stock in guys bouncing back. No one bigger than Chris Bryant. I think a lot of people point to his health last year as a reason that he struggled a little bit. Is he healthy and ready to go here to begin the year?
Yeah, it looks great. I think the big thing with Chris is he's pulling the ball with authority. You know, he had the left shoulder injury last year, kind of zapped his ability to pull balls, turn on pitches. He was looking the other way quite a bit. This spring, just the opposite. Looks like the old Chris Bryant, just hitting the ball with authority, being very selective at the strike zone. I don't recall him swinging at any bad pitches this spring. So it looks like he's checked off all the boxes for now.
Where does David Bodie fit on this team, Mark?
He's going to be a jack of all trades. In fact, you know, his ability to play third base as well as second really alleviate some of the concerns they might have had with Hap down in the minors, because now with Bodie being able to play third base, they can put Bryant in the outfield and really stack the lineup very well against lefties. But David, to this point, has earned a spot. He's had a great spring, just busting his tail. You know, I'm not sure if you want him there at shortstop as a backup if Baez needs a rest, but he's still very versatile. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him for an inning or two in the outfield.
Where does Daniel Descalso fit on this team? Because another guy, like you mentioned with Bodie, can play all over the diamond and play the field very well and has some good pop from the left side.
Very underrated guy. You know, I followed this guy's career for a long time. I know his high school coach, who says he was the best player he had at his high school. That includes guys like Eric Burns, the name one. But this guy figures it out. I mean, he'll do whatever it takes to win a game. You know, he was he cut his teeth with the Cardinals organization, learned from pros like Skip Schumacher and John Jay, and has really heeded their advice. You know, he really gives you a quality at bat. He can play second, he can play third. But I think the big thing for him is he can hit and hit from the left side. He kind of more than replaces what Tommy La Stella did, because Tommy was a terrific pinch hitter. But with Descalso, they get more for the money.
Mark, we will part ways with you on this. I want to get your thoughts on what the National League Central is going to look like this year. At least at first blush, it doesn't look like any team is actively trying to lose. You can make the argument that the Reds got better this offseason. I don't think the Pirates got any worse this offseason. How do you see things playing out this year?
I would have, you know, a month ago I was leaning toward the Cubs, but now it's such a different landscape. Just, you know, what the Cardinals have done, you know, locking up Goldschmidt. I know that's down the road, but adding him to Andrew Miller, that really fortifies their roster. I mean, they have young pitching and top high ceiling pitching. I kind of lean toward them right now. The Brewers coming off a great year. I think their fortunes depend on the three young pitchers, you know, Peralta, Burns, and Woodruff. They've been battle-tested pitching in the playoffs. I'm not sure if the team can sustain what they did last year, because it still took them eight consecutive wins to get into the playoffs. So I'm not sure they can be able to do it again, but who knows. And then the Reds have really retooled things. So I think that this division is about as competitive as it's ever been in a while.
If you're a Cubs fan, get that Tribune digital subscription like I have. Mark, we appreciate it as always. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. Take care.
Mark Gonzalez, the beat writer for the Cubs. And boy, if that just doesn't have you feeling great about the season, I don't know what does. A couple months ago I was thinking of the Cubs, and now all of a sudden, look, Mark is a straight shooter. Love having him on the program with us from time to time. This is a team that opens the season against Texas facing a lot of question marks, and we hit on a number of them there. The bullpen, is Pedro Strop ready to go? And if not, who? By the way, Carl Edwards Jr. has looked really good this spring, adding that little hesitation, and now he's throwing changeups to right-handed batters. But Yu Darvish slotted in as the number two, at least to begin the season against Texas. Chris Bryant and the shoulder, a number of Cubs players are going back to previous batting stances and things that they were comfortable with prior to Chili Davis as the team's hitting coach last year. I just don't know what to expect out of this team coming into the season. They have they've got a lot of that core talent from the 2016 World Series championship team still in place. But they also have a lot of question marks. And in a division that has the Cardinals and the Brewers both in it and looking primed to once again win close to 90 games, I just don't know what to expect from this team as we get ready to offer up our preseason predictions on tomorrow's show.
I think we can expect that Chris Bryant is going to have a very good bounce back year. And beyond that, there are a lot of question marks, like you mentioned. Will Wilson Contreras, I thought a lot of people expected him to turn a corner last year, had a little bit of a down year. And can Javier Baez replicate the season that he had last year where he was a legitimate bona fide MVP candidate? So there are question marks, but Todd, I this is the darndest thing that I have seen, and it's sort of flying under the radar, but the Daniel Descalso conundrum, where yes, I get he's a punchline because he was their biggest signing of the offseason, but I can promise you this.
Whoa, Brad Brock has
Brad
people.
Brock. Okay.
Brad Brock has people on line one for us. But you're right. Daniel Descalso and picking up the option on Cole Hamels. That was the offseason, essentially.
That was the offseason. But I'm telling you, by May 23rd, by my birthday, I know you've seen him play. So
that was really subtle, by the way. It's in your Twitter handle. Now you're dropping it. It's 2 months away. He's letting the listeners know when his birthday is.
Cubs fans are going to be like, you know what? I really like Daniel Descalso.
I think, and I brought him up. I don't know whether he's a dude or not in baseball parlance. David Bote, he put some muscle on in the offseason. He comes to camp feeling relatively comfortable about having a place on this team. This is a guy that was not exactly on any top prospect lists, and I'm talking top 30 prospect lists. I mean, this is a guy who was viewed as sort of an organizational player for several seasons before he just hit and performed at every level, including last season, had that memorable grand slam against the Nats. I think with Addison Russell suspended to start the year and Descalso still working his way back, Ben Zobrist isn't getting any younger, there's a place for David Bote on this team. And if he can carve out a little bit of a role offensively early on, I don't know what to make of this team. They are my favorite team, and I just don't know. It's been a long time since I've felt this unsettled about the Cubs coming into the season. I go back, it's probably 2013.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, so there were years where you knew that they weren't going to be great. There were years you knew they were going to be good.
Well, 2014 was, you had the Lester signing,
right?
And they make the postseason every year under Madden, and there's reason for optimism. And I don't know if there's reason for optimism this year with the team. And the Pecota projections for a while had them in, you know, 79 win territory. And I don't know if I believe that about the Cubs this year or not, but they have zero starting pitching depth at AAA. I'll be fascinated to see what the iCubs roster looks like. Other than Ian Happ, we know Ian Happ will be there, and Randy Rosario will not be there. He makes the team getting that last bullpen spot. But what's the starting rotation going to look like at Iowa? What happens if there is an injury at the big league level? You got Tyler Chatwood, in theory, Mike Montgomery, and outside of that, there isn't a whole lot down in AAA and in the minor leagues that's close to being able to come up and contribute. So pitching and staying healthy, I think, is going to be a big key for the Cubs this year. Pedro Strop bridging the gap until a possible return of Brandon Morrow sometime in May at the earliest is going to be big. And like we talked about, the outfield, Jason Hayward, Kyle Schwarber, is Albert Elmora more than a platoon player? Can he be an everyday center fielder? I know there are fans out there that really like Albert Elmora, and he's shown at times to be more than a platoon player. I don't envy Joe Maddon going into this season feeling as if it perhaps could be the end of the line for him. And who would have thought that three seasons ago the Cubs win the World Series, and we've always said they'll build a statue of the first manager that can win a World Series since 1908. Maddon's that guy. And 3 years later, he's got a $6 million contract, and this is the final year of it. And it just sort of feels like no matter what happens this year, he's not going to be back, that they're going to have a new manager next year, and there's going to be even more turnover, and who knows where this team will be in at the end of September, early October. But I don't want to throw any, I don't want to put a cold blanket on optimism for opening day. Everybody, Thursday is a fun day if you're a baseball fan. And you look at this team and, you know, 95 wins last year, and that was a down year for them. I mean, it kind of comes off, you give the vibe of that Nebraska football fan. I mean, Cubs fans are sort of Nebraska football fan right now. We're a very entitled bunch. And whether or not that optimism or that feeling of is warranted, I can't necessarily tell you one way or the other, but it just feels like a bunch of spoiled kids not getting their way when they go to the store with mom and dad. It's not a good look. It doesn't come off very well to other baseball fans. But the Brewers and the Cardinals, at least at first blush, look like they're in better position to compete for a division title this year. But you got two wild cards, and you got 162 games ahead of you, unless you're the A's and the Mariners, then you got 160 ahead of you. 252, we'll take a quick timeout. You can weigh in, by the way, on the Cubs, Cardinals, and everybody else on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We want to hear from you. Hertin and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. When we return, we have already given away our hairball tickets for today, but we'll tell you what you can win tomorrow just by listening to Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. Back with more after this.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then.
It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
You may tell yourself that watching the world's best basketball tourney on your phone is okay. Heck, everyone else does it. Well, everyone else is wrong. Tiny screens, cell phone speakers, earbuds. Nope, nope, and double nope. Basketball belongs to the big screen. So put your phone on pipe down mode and come to B-Dubs, where the screens are huge and the fans are you. Your hands will be so filled with wings and beers, you'd be hard-pressed to hold one of those nerdy pocket TVs. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their 5 PGA Indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini-golf, skee-ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games, and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Diane, word around the office is you're thinking about quitting.
Dave, I'm sorry you had to find out from someone else.
It's really hard to find great employees like you, so I'd like to make you a counteroffer.
Dave, why are you pulling up your shirt? What is that?
It's a tattoo of your face on my lower back. So what do you say?
Diane?
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the Gym Class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
What the hell we got here? Some kind of public access show or something?
319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Some highlights of Kirk Ferentz's media availability in Iowa City earlier today on the way for you here in the 6 o'clock hour. We mentioned Winning Big with the Gym Class tomorrow. Scott Unash returns from a brief vacation, and he and Mark are going to have an opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to Hudson's Southside Tap on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. I've actually checked out Hudson's before. Pretty cool place. That gift card is coming to you courtesy of the Community Crisis Services and Food Bank locally in Johnson County. You may recall they are the former Crisis Center. They've rebranded themselves. Again, the new name, the Community Crisis Services Food Bank. They are responsible for bringing you that $30 gift card to Hudson's Southside Tap on Highway 1 West in Iowa City tomorrow. They feed those in need in just one part of what they do there at Community Crisis Services and Food Bank. They are ready to listen to you if you need help 7 days a week. Check them out, iowacrisischat.org, for more information. Scott and Mark will be giving away that gift card to Hudson's sometime between 3 and 4 on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class, which also features Mark Ironside stopping by to put a big bow on another season of college wrestling here in Eastern Iowa. Right now, Kyle is back with us in the studio. He's got a big board update for you.
Iowa's spring football practices begin tomorrow, and with that comes a fresh batch of football-related news. The program announced this morning there will not be an open practice this year because the turf inside Kinnick needs to be replaced as a result of flooding in the area last summer. Instead, there's going to be an autograph session at the April 20th baseball game, as well as a Meet the Hawkeyes event, for which details will be released in the coming weeks. We also got our first look at a depth chart for the upcoming season. Alaric Jackson and Tristan Wirfs remain at the tackles, with Cole Banward at center and the Paulsons beside him. Along the D-line is Chauncey Golston, Cedric Lattimore, Brady Reef, and A.J. Epinesa. Linebackers are Neiman Welch and Colbert. Kevon Merriweather and Geno Stone are your new starting safeties, and he didn't appear on the depth chart, but we did learn today that defensive lineman Davion Nixon will remain a Hawkeye. I mentioned yesterday Iowa State Steve Brohm had been mentioned as a possible candidate for the open Alabama job, and Alex mentioned late in the show a report that the Cyclones may move to extend in response to those rumors, and the announcement came this morning that Brohm has in fact been extended through 2025. He's won at least 23 games in three of his four seasons and has two Big 12 tournament titles. And that's one Cyclone staying, but there's another one going. Sophomore Cam Lard has displayed great talent at times throughout his career, but he also been suspended three times, so it came as no surprise to many when he announced today he'll be transferring. He says he has no issues with the coaches and just wants to start fresh elsewhere. Tonight after the show, we're going to have a really good NBA matchup. We've got the league-best Milwaukee Bucks taking on the streaking Houston Rockets on all three frequencies, tipping off right as we leave the air.
The Iowa baseball team is in action today at Duane Banks Field, taking on the Bradley Braves in a little midweek showdown. Got to get the bats going. They struggled last weekend in that Big Ten opening series against Indiana, and so far today, goose egg on the board for the Hawkeyes. They head to the bottom of the seventh inning. Bradley on top, 2-0. 6:32, Iowa City was pretty busy today. Not only are the Hawkeyes in action at Duane Banks Field, but Kirk Ferentz met with members of the media to officially kick off the spring practice period, as Kyle just mentioned. Lots of highlights to get to. We'll hear what Kirk had to say about filling Reese Morgan's shoes, the elevation of Kelvin Bell, and more when we return after this. Back with more. Don't go anywhere.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $19 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. A cup of coffee costs more than that. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 800-780-7070. That's 800-780-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Sarah. That's SelectQuote.com/Sarah.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When a client calls, what do you want them to hear? Your personal voicemail?
Hey, you've reached Greg's cell phone. I'm away right now, obviously. Leave a message and maybe I'll get back to you.
Or something a little more buttoned up, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Thanks for calling Green Landscaping. To make an appointment, dial 1. For billing, dial 2. To speak with Greg Smith, dial 3.
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper. the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
With warmer weather just around the corner, it's the perfect time to tackle that brake job. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralask brake bundle has the proven tough pads and rotors you need to do the complete job. Started at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
You got to stop thinking so negative, son.
6:34, welcome back in as a Tuesday edition of the show. Is it just you, or is it just me, or I just feel like I haven't had time to breathe since we've been on the air at 4 o'clock today. There are newsy days, and then there are newsy days. You got Steve Prohm getting the contract extension in Ames, and good for him. Whether or not you appreciate this about college basketball and college football coaches, but athletic directors also are in the mix here in this discussion, but an Alabama job comes open. Steve Prohm is an Alabama alum. I don't think he was probably seriously interested in taking that job, but his name gets thrown around by the media because Steve Prohm has people, presumably an agent who's very good. Agents have no loyalty other than to their clients. So the agent is the one who's putting names out there. The agent is the guy who's talking to national media members going, hey, do me a favor. Throw this out there. See what we can get. And in this particular instance, and I know Iowa State has been wanting to make a commitment to its core coaching staff for some time. We saw it with Matt Campbell, and look, his name was thrown around, especially when Urban Meyer was out at Ohio State or looking like he was going to be out before that officially took place. Matt Campbell was able to parlay that into some extra money for his assistants, very similar to what Kirk Ferentz has done in the past. And now Steve Prohm, by virtue of Avery Johnson moving on from Alabama, was able to get a three-year extension. And we don't know the terms of the deal, but presumably there's going to be more money for Prohm and probably some other incentives in there as well. And then Cameron Lard winds up moving on, or Iowa State moves on. I think this is a mutual divorce. I think this is a husband and wife who just look at each other and say, you know what, what's the point anymore? We've tried. We can't settle our differences. It's best if you move on and I move on and we start over again. So Cameron Lard, I know somebody on the text line earlier today said he's going to be a star wherever he goes. He's also going to be a pain in the ass wherever he goes. Well, I mean, I feel very confident in making that prediction.
That same texter was complaining about about Steve Prohm not being able to coach him well. How many opportunities did he give Cam Lard?
Well, and that's just it.
How many
opportunities do you give somebody before you have to sit them down and be very blunt with them and say, hey, your attitude sucks. It's not a me problem. It's a you problem. And I'm sure he got some tough love from Steve Prohm. I just don't know whether he responded to it or not.
No, and he clearly didn't, and that's the thing.
I look back, they got housed at West Virginia, and he's at the end of the bench laughing while his teammates are embarrassed about the way that they played in that game.
This was a guy who was supposed to be a core player this season, and Todd, we can go back to that, what is it, December 4th matchup against Iowa. The next day, we were talking about how he fouled out in something like 6 minutes of game action, and we mentioned the body language. This was a guy who lost his starting job. And if that's not motivation enough for you to change anything, then there just isn't anything that a coach can do about that.
And then Iowa has Kirk Ferentz kicking off spring practices today with a news conference, so we've got that to talk about, and all of this news going on today. And on top of that, Tim Miles is out as Nebraska's head coach. It's the world's worst kept secret that Bill Moose wants to hire Fred Hoiberg, who is still a major name on the sports scene in the state of Iowa. All this going down on a random Tuesday in late March. So, yeah. Take a deep breath, because it feels like we need to do one here at 2.5 hours into the program. We'll get an opportunity to catch our breath here, hearing a little bit of what Kirk Ferentz had to say in Iowa City earlier today, courtesy of our pal Rob Howe at HawkeyeNation.com, who was there because we could not be there today, given the fact that we are a little short-staffed. But Kirk Ferentz, among things discussed today, how he'll fill the spot on the staff vacated by Reese Morgan. This is the first time that we've heard Kirk Ferentz publicly since Reese Morgan, longtime lieutenant in Iowa City, announced his retirement. And here's Kirk sharing a little bit of his thoughts on Reese.
What will Reese Morgan's impact be felt the most?
Pretty much everywhere. I mean, you know, where do you start? As much as anything, you know, we've had several coaches retire here now, I guess. You know, it's interesting. You know, both Carl and Norm had pretty long tenures. Greg's wasn't as long at Iowa, but he was a veteran coach. And I think all three of those guys' commonality there, and Reese is certainly right there at the top of the class, just, you know, knowing how to act, how to do things. And, you know, so the value they have to our entire staff, it starts there, I think is really extremely impactful. And then, you know, the impact they've had on our players, the players' families, you know, you go right down the list. And I'll share one story with you that, you know, I'm with the Hawkinsons back in January. Terry brought up the fact that when Reese would go in the school to see TJ, he'd always stop and see TJ's sister every time in the school. So those are just little things that resonate with people. Nobody else had done that. Reese had done that, and I think it's a pretty good illustration of how Reese is. He doesn't miss much. You know, he checks all the boxes and just is so thorough. So you think about some of the guys that, you know, were easy to recognize that he's helped us recruit, and then other guys maybe that weren't as recognized, yet end up being recognized 4 or 5 years later. You know, those are things that are really just invaluable. And then, you know, whatever you asked him to coach, he was going to do a quality job. You know, he did a quality job all three spots. He probably could have done any of the positions that we have, including mine. So it's just, you know, he's just unbelievable. Just a great guy to have on our staff and a great friend.
So Kirk Ferentz letting everybody know today that Kelvin Bell will take over as the permanent defensive line coach. He had been the interim defensive line coach for the last several weeks, and the plan in place is, we talked with Scott Docterman of The Athletic earlier on the program today. Iowa has had a trend of promoting from within during recent openings, and this is another one of those instances. This does create a little bit of change for the coaching staff, and here is Kirk talking about how the next incarnation of the coaching staff will deal with bringing on another assistant, the 10th assistant, if you will.
Will that person be similar to what Kelvin was, recruiting coordinator? And what are you kind of looking for there?
I think similar in the fact that probably most definitely a defensive assistant. Mm-hmm. And I think most likely to work with Kelvin. Yeah, probably someone to help out the defensive line just because of the numbers. And so I think the way we're structured right now, it's probably logical. I do foresee us moving in a little different direction recruiting-wise.
Okay.
And I'll talk about that when we finalize that. But I think we'll probably shift some responsibilities around a little bit and maybe diffuse them a little bit more that way. But this person will have some recruiting duties for sure.
Okay.
So the next assistant that joins the staff is going to have some of the responsibilities that Bell had, although they're not necessarily going to have a direct recruiting coordinator at this point. Good move.
Yeah, I always wonder about what a recruiting coordinator actually entails.
Coordinates recruiting.
Well, yes, but every assistant coach has their zone. If you don't know, a college football coaching staff is set up to where the coach, there are, 10 assistant coaches, and all 10 of them have their recruiting zone. So there's not a lot of overlap. You remember Eric Johnson, who retired a couple years ago to
now running a fast food empire Volunteer State. Yes.
Well, he had the St. Louis area. Different coaches have different areas. So the recruiting coordinator as a whole, I just wonder what that entails. And I think that is definitely a position that can be filled by another coach, if that makes
Johnson
sense.
Johnson almost got us canned, Tyler and me, because we were talking about that story and we talked a little bit too much about the restaurant that he, the chain that he was going to go take over or open, and we said some glowing things about them, and then they brought us a bunch of food because they were happy about that, and we didn't think anything of it because we there was no malicious intent behind talking about said chain. And the next thing you know, we got dressed down pretty good for that. And ever since then, I've been walking on eggshells or deep fried cheese curds, as the case may be. But Eric Johnson got out. He saw what this was turning into. He saw that it was a 24/7, 365 thing, and he had a family, and he wanted to go do something right. different. And then Seth Wallace has come on board and was fantastic. And then he got elevated. And Kelvin Bell, who he's made some tremendous inroads, especially in parts of the South where the Hawkeyes maybe had been struggling in recent years. And a guy who had played in the program can go into somebody's home and explain what being a part of the program as a player from a player's perspective. I always got a couple of those guys on staff, but Bell is a little bit younger, connects a little bit more with the kids, and now gets the enviable task of taking over the defensive line with AJ Epenesa, stepping into what is essentially his starting role. So I talk about being set up to succeed from the get-go. Another guy who could see some time on the defensive line and really sort of has been a mystery man for the last couple months surrounding the football program after the bowl game was Davion Nixon. And here's Kirk Ferentz, what he had to say about him.
But Davion's back full speed with us today, and it's great to have him back with us. But the good news is, I think, you know, we've been through quite a road right here with Davion. But I can tell you this, my interfaces with him, I think it's true of all of us, it's been nothing but positive. And I was super impressed with him last year because he's on the scout team, you know, redshirting, and the guy just likes football. He likes football. He likes his teammates. He likes being out there. He's got a really good enthusiasm to him, a good vibe. So that, you know, that's not always the case when guys are on the scout team. That's not the most enjoyable place to be for a lot of guys, but it's a really important thing for him. And the way he was on the field was just really, it was great. So really excited to get him back with us now and get him out there starting tomorrow.
I don't have the data here in front of me, but how often do you see a guy enter the transfer portal and stay? I know there was a lot of stuff out there about Nixon and his situation, and there were a lot of sides that wanted their side told, and it's complicated, and I don't want to necessarily unpack that on the air, but you got Kirk Ferentz going to bat for you there, and he doesn't necessarily swing and miss when he makes character references for guys. But Nixon was in the transfer portal, and I think most fans had written him off, saying that he was going to go elsewhere, and it was going to be a major loss for Iowa. And suddenly, here we are, sort of surprise, surprise, he's still with the team and in good standing, and I think a guy that fans should expect to see on the field playing a pretty big role for the Iowa defense next year.
I certainly think so. And yes, I was definitely surprised to hear this news because, like you mentioned, you go into the transfer portal and most of the time you're going out the other end. This situation, this is like the scene on Happy Gilmore where he's at the putt-putt course and the clown just spits the golf ball right back at him. Well, Davion Nixon went into the transfer portal. He didn't come out on the other side. So we can't exactly ask him what it was like in that other dimension, which is somewhat disappointing.
Okay, so you're going to go here on me, and I got to share this. I spent Saturday in the Chicago suburbs, and I know I mentioned this yesterday on the program, but my friend's father passed away, a friend from high school, and all of us gathered to support him. It's the first time anybody had lost a father. And the service, it was a full Catholic service with communion and everything afterwards. And the priest who presided over the service went into this long-winded discussion of people who have died and come back to life and the stories that they've told about the process of dying and coming back to life. And while it was fascinating, it also seemed very bizarre to be discussing that as part of a funeral mass. And all I can think of is you're sitting there talking about Nixon entering the portal and coming back to the other side is somebody who, one of the stories he told was this guy that he had met who had dropped dead of a heart attack, and they were able to revive him. And he told the priest the story of basically being there in the room and seeing everything unfold and then basically coming back from the dead. And I don't know whether to put any stock into that or not. It was like I said, it was sort of bizarre because it's in the middle of a funeral and this guy goes off on a tangent about dying and coming back to life. But that's what I'm envisioning here. Davion Nixon is a medical miracle. He entered the transfer portal and he came through the other side. He came back to life as a Hawkeye. He didn't wind up elsewhere. Now, this is a guy who we have yet to see do much of anything other than show up on recruiting profiles. But you get the sense that he could be a big, especially with the losses that they suffered on defense with the draft and graduation going into next season. It's kind of okay for fans to get excited about this, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest piece of excitement is that, like we were just talking about, this is icing on the cake of something that nobody thought this was going to happen. People had already written off the possibility of him coming back to Iowa, and most people were looking and saying, what is that defensive line going to look like? Who is going to play? In fact, I think that, Todd, and you made a tongue-in-cheek comment a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago that if you buy a ticket, you might get entered into a raffle to play defensive tackle for the Hawkeyes. It was getting to that point where it was sort of becoming a punchline, and now they at least have one of the guys that they put a lot of stock in as far as a – you heard Kirk Ferentz say there, a scout team performer who opened their eyes. And I think that's just such a big part of the Iowa football program. Your redshirt year is so important. If you can show on scout team that you can play, you're doing that against starters. That's when you open the eyes of Kirk Ferentz and the staff. And that's where you make the impression of, okay, this is a guy who can play. And clearly he did that.
6:51, this is kind of interesting from the world of college basketball. We've spent so much time talking about Tim Miles today and getting the boot at Nebraska. North Carolina State fired Mark Gottfried a while ago and has been paying a buyout, as coaches get in their contracts when they are let go and you part ways with them. They owe him still about $520,000, and they've just stopped paying the buyout to him. And they won't necessarily reveal the reason why, but he's involved in the Adidas corruption scandal, and so the school is using that apparently as the reason to say, you know what, yeah, we had a contract with you, and we owed you a lot of money, but because you are coming up in this scandal, we're just going to not pay you. College basketball never ceases to amaze me. You look at how Tim Miles is treated and everybody is like, oh yeah, that's completely normal. Oh yeah, I'm not going to get bent out of shape about that. How would you like that if your boss did that to you? You're essentially fired, but they make you come to work for a week and a half. They've already got your replacement hired. And every time that you ask, hey, what's going on with my job status, your boss says, well, I don't know. And I'll address it when I address it. And meanwhile, somebody already has your job and you probably know it. Tim Miles was a smart guy, but he still had to go to work every day and pretend like, hey, maybe I can dig myself out of this hole. Maybe my head isn't going to wind up on a pike just yet. Well, today, his head wound up on a pike. 6:53, we will take a quick timeout. When we come back, an update on that Iowa-Bradley game at Duane Banks Field, a big board update, and we'll tell you what's in store for a big Wednesday edition of the show after this.
Prospect Meadows opens this May in the corridor. This brand new baseball and softball complex will provide local kids with new opportunities, host teams from around the Midwest, and offer real economic impact locally. It also features the only special needs field in our area. Be part of Prospect Meadows. For a limited time only, they're offering custom-inscribed baseballs to be featured on their Rotary Donor Wall at the main entrance. Reserve yours this week at prospectmeadows.com. Proceeds from the Donor Wall will help complete this first-class complex and give all children a place to play.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and C-Corp tax filings before April 15th. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. 319-208-3712. Community.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
I don't like it any more than you, man.
Do not lose any more sleep. Alex and I will offer up our Major League Baseball predictions on tomorrow's show. We will be in the studio here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids for 3 hours from 4 until 7. Join us as we navigate the post-Gary Rima waters. On a Wednesday afternoon, we'll have the 6 o'clock showdown for you and more baseball discussion. We're going to be chatting Milwaukee Brewers baseball and a whole lot more. So join us tomorrow on the program as we reconvene here from 4 until 7. We'll have another opportunity for you to win hairball tickets coming to Veterans Memorial Stadium. Colonels selling those tickets July 6th is the date for that show. They're on sale now at colonels.com. Right now, Kyle's going to get you one last big board update.
Iowa spring football practices begin tomorrow, and with that comes a fresh batch of football-related news. The program announced this morning there will not be an open practice this year because the turf inside Kinnick needs to be replaced as a result of flooding in the area last summer. Instead, there's going to be an autograph session at the April 20th baseball game, as well as a Meet the Hawkeyes event for which details will be released in the coming weeks. We also got our first look at a depth chart for the upcoming season. Alaric Jackson and Tristan Wirfs remain at the tackles, with Cole Banward at center and the Paulsons beside him. Along the D-line is Chauncey Golston, Cedric Lattimore, Brady Reif, and A.J. Epinesa. Your linebackers are Neiman, Welch, and Colbert, and Kevon Merriweather and Geno Stone, your new starting safeties. And he didn't appear on the depth chart, but we did learn today that defensive lineman Davion Nixon has returned from the transfer portal and will remain a Hawkeye. I mentioned yesterday Iowa State's Steve Prohm had been mentioned as a possible candidate for the open Alabama job. Alex mentioned late in the show a report that the Cyclones may move to extend him in response to those rumors, and the announcement came this morning that Prohm has in fact been extended through 2025. He's won at least 23 games in 3 of his 4 seasons and has 2 tournament titles. That's one Cyclone staying, but there's another one going. Sophomore Cam Lard has displayed great talent at times throughout his career, but has also been suspended 3 times, so it came as no surprise to many when he announced today he'll be transferring. Tonight after the show, we've actually got a really good NBA matchup. We'll have the league-best Milwaukee Bucks taking on the streaking Houston Rockets on all 3 frequencies. Tip-off set for right as we leave the air.
Speaking of coming back from the dead, the Iowa baseball team's got a run on the board in the bottom of the 8th inning. They now trail Bradley 2-1, but there are 2 outs, so the Hawkeyes are down to their last 4 outs, trying to avoid a midweek loss to a Missouri Valley Conference team. Join us tomorrow. We mentioned the 6 o'clock showdown. Lots of baseball discussion as we gear up for opening day. Plus, we're ready for a Thursday road trip to Mulligan's. Details available at kgymradio.com. If you missed anything from today's show, you can download the podcast or listen to it now at kgymradio.com.
Individuals.